Good morning, and welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Woo! Get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on. 866-901-ADAM. Good morning, Teresa Strasser.
Good morning, Adam Carolla.
Good morning, Bald Brian.
No!
I know it's going to be tough when one of your top 13 NFL teams goes down.
I don't know what you're talking about. Loss. I'm a 49ers fan.
Wow. Oh, boy. Where do I even start? Let's see.
Did you believe they had lost until there was 1 second left on the clock?
There was a funny feeling I had, which is even after they had lost and the teams had left the field, I was fully expecting Belichick to come out there, throw a red flag out of a sock, somebody to run out with some sort of bizarre interpretation of the tuck rule, or to say that the Giants' Plexico Burris' foot didn't stay in. Or so. I was fully expecting something bizarre to happen, and I had a pretty good buzz going by the time the game was over. Yeah, I'd gotten started earlier that day because it was a travel day, and I was just sitting in first class getting loaded on the way home from Victoria, British Columbia. So I had a nice buzz going the entire time and continued the buzz when I got to Kimmel's. So there was this part where I had to, you know, slop water in my face and do the and wonder if it wasn't just some sort of booze-soaked hallucination I was having. Oh. It almost didn't even feel right that they lost. And after the game was over and they had lost, I had to keep thinking to myself, did they really lose? I don't think they lost.
So many questions. Now, you were at a party with real Patriots fans. I'm, of course, a pretend fake Patriots fan. What was it like? They must have been devastated.
Are you talking about ESPN.com's Bill Simmons?
The day the typing stopped.
Yeah. Dear diary, my tears have shorted out the keyboard. Hold me, Larry. Larry Bird. Celtic fame. Let me explain something. The super hardcore fans, and especially the Patriots fans, don't go to the huge games at Kimmel because it's a carnival-like atmosphere. Yeah. And they need to control the outcome of the game through telepathy.
Yeah.
So
I understand.
So Bill Simmons was at the game. Kevin Hench, the other huge fan who writes for FoxSports.com, was at the game. And all the hardcore guys were at the game. But the thing that's funny, even if they weren't at the game, if I said next year when the Patriots are going to the Super Bowl, hey, Bill Simmons, hey, Kevin Hench, how about you guys go to Kimmel's and tilt a few and enjoy the Super Bowl? No way. Got to stay home and control it through my powerful brain.
Sure.
Yeah.
But if I said, yeah, well, last time we did that, they lost. I know I wasn't focused would be their answer.
If you think really hard, Tinkerbell will die.
All right. Let's see. Much to talk about. Giovanni.
Hey, Ace, Brian, T, how you guys doing?
What's happening, Giovanni? Now you're calling from Honolulu, Hawaii?
Yeah, misery.
Hey, Giovanni, two things. Quickly, you're the guy who calls from Honolulu and is miserable, which I enjoy. The other thing is I ran into a ton of people in Victoria that is around Vancouver this weekend, and they all said, hey, we all love the show. And I said, how do you guys get the show? And they said, well, we listen out of your Seattle affiliate. And I said, awesome. And then they said, but how do we call in? We can't get in. And I said, I don't know. Call the number.
Actually, if they go to the message board at adamcarollamessageboard.com, there's a thread on this. They have to search. Mm-hmm. And basically, there's a back door. There's a number in the coincidentally Bonaduce Nozzle show. Mm-hmm. It goes to the same studio. And you call this number, and you can put through to Teddy. I'm sure nobody wants me to tell that, but, you know.
Listen, I like calls from different places, and I felt bad that I didn't have an answer for all these folks that were from the Vancouver area. Turns out they speak English over there, and they're as white as we are.
No accent or anything? Just
plain old white people, whiter than we are, and they speak English, and they like their comedy. So I felt bad, but I did say go to adamcarolla.com and look around and see what you could find.
Giovanni should give out the number. I mean, they pay for it. Might as well give it out.
Giovanni?
Yeah.
Do you know the number?
Yeah, it's on my phone right now. It's 888-520-9710.
There you go. Hey, Giovanni.
Yeah, well, my question is, on Saturday night, there was 10 posts on the message board at adamcarollamessageboard.com from your account. And it sounded like you, but merely by the fact that you were responding to posts, I thought it wasn't you.
Right.
And reviewing these posts right now to verify it on its authenticity, but I thought I would just ask.
Uh-huh. No. Saturday night was in British Columbia. I was in Victoria at a film festival.
There's some theories that it was your former web mistress for the show.
Uh-huh.
Who's that?
Web mistress.
Web mistress.
Oh, webmaster. You know, I don't want to call Billy Moses a master.
Oh, I see. Billy Moses.
Oh, is he back at it again?
Look, just because a dude lactates does not make him a web mistress. All right, Giovanni?
Yeah, you got to change your password, Ace. You got to change it.
What password?
Well, for logging on the message board, because the guy kind of sounded like he was really funny. Like he was talking about how he spent his evening drinking copious amounts of alcohol and beating his wife.
Yeah.
Which I totally made me think it was you.
All right, but here's how you know it's not me. A, I'm burning calories.
Exactly.
On a Saturday night talking to people. And B, I'm attempting to be funny.
Yeah, exactly.
Also did give away 10 posts in one night. How long was that taking?
Right.
Yeah.
It was actually done in like 25 minutes, but yeah.
That's the
point. It did
not
seem like Ace.
That's the point. All right. Hey, Giovanni?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to let you get back to your miserable day in paradise.
Hey, there's one more thing I want to mention, if that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
From time to time, you'll bring up John Hyatt, which you just recently got me into his music, and how much better he is than Mellencamp and Springsteen. And you start to bring in some...
Well, now, yes, you're right. Hold on a second. I never say Springsteen.
Oh, okay.
I just basically, here's why I got on the radio. I would like to make money, let's be honest, and then I'd like to effect some positive change in your people's lives. And if there's a topic you know about, I know about cars. And let's just say you're out car shopping and you're like, hey, I want that little two-seater Pontiac Sunfire. It's got 190 horsepower and it costs $26,000. If I knew a car that had 100 more horsepower and cost $19,000, I would love to say, hold on. If you like that car, you are going to love this car because this car is really what that car is supposed to be, minus the shiny badge and the, chrome. So I feel that way about John Cougar Mellencamp. He's fine. The Little Pink Houses songs and all that stuff effed out and sort of tired. Wow. If you like that kind of music, John Hyatt is the guy. If you want a guy singing about the heartland, John Hyatt is the guy. Bruce Springsteen is awesome. I just feel like I've had one, I've heard Bruce Springsteen's songs and him mentioned 1 billion times for every half a time I hear John Hyatt, and I think Hyatt is a better songsmith than Bruce Springsteen. No one's going to top Springsteen in concert, those 3-hour concerts, and he's great. All right, let's see.
By the way, how did you find Tom Petty last night, the halftime show?
I don't know. I always, Tom Petty's good, but that's another one of those things where he's good, but if you like Tom Petty and you like, I'm sorry, who were we talking about?
Mellencamp
and guys like that, there are other guys out there, and I just bring up John Hyatt, but there's a whole bunch of guys that are really good that are in that vein that you ought to go check out because you like that kind of music.
If you like old white guys, there's plenty of other ones.
Now, Petty, it was funny because I was pretty lit up by the time halftime came around, and then also the sound kind of goes down and people start mingling and moving around and kibitzing and eating and God knows what, so I didn't hear a ton of it. He did a medley,
yeah,
of course. I know his boob popped out at a certain point. Now look, if Tom Petty had himself a sense of humor,
yes,
how funny would it be if a flap opened up over his left chest and exposed?
I mean, brilliant, especially because it was a different network than did it the first time, so they could do it with impunity.
Right. How funny would that be? How awesome would that be? As a matter of fact, not only that, but what if Justin Timberlake joined him up on stage?
That would have been great.
First, last dance with Mary Jane or something, and at the end, pow.
That's right.
Pulled the boob out. Everyone would be talking. Everyone would be talking about it, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have to tile it out or anything. It's just a 120-pound, 6-year-old man chest. I mean,
oh man,
it's fine, right? He's less than an A cup. And who could really be uptight about it?
Time has not been kind to Tom Petty. I didn't hear it either because of the party. I was at last night, but I was looking at it on the TV. I was like, oof.
He sounded fine. He's not the most dynamic performer.
No, it is.
By visuals.
It's funny that he was able to carve out such a career for himself by having that sort of Quaalude-type performance. I like it. I don't trust the guy out there dancing too much. Mm. It suggests that maybe his singing isn't what it could be. It's like when I see a comedian drag a trunk out there, I'm thinking, this guy is the funniest guy on the planet, and he travels with a steamer trunk when he could just pack his brain. All right, we'll take ourselves a break. Many more thoughts on the weekend, the Super Bowl. Your questions, 866-901-ADAM. How say you? Teresa Ball Bryan, you can tell us where you enjoyed the game. And I'll give you my thoughts on traveling and other places and why they're always better than this place. Next.
It's the Adam Carolla Show, and here's what's coming up with Program Director Jack Silver. It's funny, because it's true.
Check, check, check! Gotta get it on, peeps! Today, the star of L.A. Inc., tattoo artist extraordinaire Kat Von D. Oh, if only we had someone on the show who had a ton of tattoos! From Arrested Development and The Larry Sanders Show, Jeffrey Tambor! Also, Music Monday! And the Ace Man plays catch-up with Last Week in Rage! Ooh. Now, if you'll excuse me, Jack Man's gonna go take a couple aspirin and lie down for a while! I'm still a little hungover from the big game last night! I'm referring, of course, to Anal Ring Toss! Okay!
Thanks, Jack. 866-901-ADAM. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, once again, by the way, I just got back from British Columbia over the weekend for Film Fest for my movie, The Hammer. You can go to MySpace and check out the trailer, by the way, if you like. The movie was very well received and everything was awesome. But I flew first class, and nobody has more complaints about flying first class than me. But once again, I waited until the plane loaded up, and then I took my first class seat, only to find there was no room for my baggage above the container. And by the way, the overhead storage above your two first class seats, I know this is going to sound crazy, but perhaps I could put my bag into that opening. Would that be all right? No, I was the last guy to get on the plane, so I didn't have room, so we had to check our bags. Of course, my wife started yelling at me because I said, I refuse to sit on the plane for half an hour longer than everyone else. But let me just dig this. Just please, everyone, listen to me. And this is why my wife wanted to toss herself off the Space Needle 15 hours into the trip. When you load anything, but especially something that moves, don't you just go back to front? Doesn't that just make sense? Mm. How many times you've been getting onto an airplane and there's one old guy and he's struggling with the overhead thing and everything stops? Why? Well, his seat is aisle 39 and yours is aisle 51 and so is everyone else who's piling on the plane. Now, it is bottlenecked because there's only enough room for one person to walk, and when that guy stops at his seat... So it's a great plan. Hey, Teresa, you're in aisle 21. You get on the plane. Hey, everyone else who's in aisle 21 to 86, go behind her. And then she can stop and she can struggle with her thing and she can struggle to take her coat off, and then we can all just pile up. How about there's 100 aisles on the plane and here's who's boarding first. Aisle 100, then 99, then 98. We'll go forward. When we get to the very front of the plane, hey, first class guys, get on the plane. Last guy to get on the plane is the guy who's sitting in aisle 1 in chair A. Yes?
Right.
Some airlines go window to aisle. They'll put, you know what I mean? Your first group will be window seats. The thinking being people can go in and go towards the window, thereby leaving space by the aisle, but they forget that everyone uses the same overhead bins.
And what difference does it make? Okay, there's 100 seats. There's a corridor that's 18 inches running down the plane. That's 150 feet long. And 200 people have assigned seats. Why not just let the back of the plane get on first? Who would have a problem with that?
Well, you might not remember what it's like to fly in coach, but I get so nervous. I feel like the clock's ticking when I'm trying to put my luggage overhead because I know I'm clogging up the lane and
right.
You can feel people breathing down your neck and you're trying to get it up there and close
well,
the bin.
Well, the reason you can feel people breathing down your neck, again, is that in the 100 seat plane or the 100 aisle plane, you're in the 30s, mm-hmm. and that makes 70 aisles of people who want to get past you to your thing. Mm-hmm. Now this is one of those, most of the things I think of, I just think, all right, other people are stupid, and that's why they don't come up with things that I come up with. I'm not smart. I'm just average, and everyone is dumb. But what about this one? Somebody certainly must have thought of this one first. It happens every single time. And then here's who you wouldn't want to get on the plane first if you were trying to load a plane. The people in the first eight rows. That's the first people you would not want on right. the plane, right? Because not only is everyone dragging their Samsonite by and banging you in the shin, but those guys are trying to do their thing while 185 people file past them very slowly.
Sure.
And those people as well can't get any love, even though it's first class. Ironically, you get to sit down first. And people have this fantasy like, oh, I'm just going to sit down. I'm going to help myself to some champagne, and it's going to be awesome. You can't get any love from the stewardess because she's attending to the 185 people that are dragging their suitcase past you and trying to stuff it into the overhead thing.
Thereby negating the early boarding advantage.
Here's the early boarding advantage, first class.
Early boarding
if you
advantage.
Like getting the stink eye from 226 people and get banged by stuff and do that thing where you have to like get up. If you have, and God forbid you have to get up and go to the bathroom or something because then you're walking against
you're
the stream
yeah.
of people and you're standing there and every once in a blue moon, you can sheepishly raise your hand and say to the overworked, overstressed, understaffed, stewardess, do you think I could get some champagne? Sweetie, let me, as soon as I get everybody, what a privilege. What a privilege. I could have just been sitting at the sports bar, by the way, in the thing, watching the big screen TV and finishing a Bloody Mary. What's the difference?
I've got a question. How long, honestly, how long was the flight and what percentage of that time did you complain to your wife?
Well, I fell asleep.
150% of the time.
At a certain,
it spilled over.
At a certain point. So I was still able to complain in my sleep, but
sleep.
not as effective, I think, as I could have been if I'd actually been lucid. It was like 2.5-3 hour flight. Yeah.
There's a first class?
Mm-hmm.
where is it?
It's up toward the front. It's at, you know what,
oh, you're
actually,
talking
Brian?
You're talking about the cockpit.
They said I couldn't talk about it to you.
They put a curtain.
Hey, so Chris.
Hey.
What's happening, Chris?
What's going on?
What's happening, my brother?
Oh, just working right now. I'm a truck driver for a water company up here in Vancouver. Yeah.
Beautiful country up there.
It is, and I'm one of the few brothers up here in Canada.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
So. Awesome.
Yes, hello. My name is Graham
Wellington.
Well,
suck having all those cops follow you around everywhere you go, though.
It is.
We have one black man in this country. Now let's get on him. I'm going to 24/7 tail.
When he comes down the street, you think it's the president.
That's right. He's a motorcade. Hey, Chris.
Yes.
You wanted to say that you listen to the show?
I do.
And where? Yes.
I get it off the Seattle station.
Yeah, that's what a lot of folks over in Vancouver were saying to us. And so I want to thank them for listening. And thank you as well.
I tell everybody that will listen to me, listen to the Corolla Show, man. It's hilarious. Much better than Vancouver radio. It's horrible up here.
Well, thank you, Chris. I appreciate it. And it's sort of, you know, they have laws over there in Canada where you must play 30% Canadian artists right. on the radio and 30% television and all that stuff. But of course, Gordon Lightfoot gets old eventually, and it's one of these things where there's not the competition we have here in the States because we're not required to do any of that stuff.
I play 30% Canadian artists anyway.
Ah, look, mine Adams for you.
I can be Canadian rock station.
All right, let's see. Ah, Shamor, another
Canadian
brother or sister, as it were. Shamor?
Hello, Adam.
What's happening, Shamor?
Hey, I just want to say that I'm calling because I'm a black woman, and I've been listening to you, I guess, for about a year now, and I love your show. And you don't talk to us very often. We probably don't call in very often.
Mm-hmm. People get death row.
And so I want to make sure that we are represented. And I'm going to need the shocker sound in a second because I'm 35. I have three kids, and they all have the same father.
Wow.
Wish you weren't a liar.
What prison is he in, sweetie? We'll send him out a beer koozie.
Liar! Hey, get this. He used to be a correctional officer. Now he's a parole agent, so...
Well, I've always said the brothers are either one side of the law or the other. That's
exactly. Shamor, that's a scary job, CO.
Yeah, it was because he was out at Chino at the really, really, really maximum, when you only get an hour. So I was kind of nervous. So I'm really glad that he's out on the streets now. And people tease me all the time because I grew up in Claremont, so people always say, well, yeah, she's black, but you married a white woman.
Well, hey,
I listen to, you know, I love Soundgarden, you know, all the stuff from the 90s. I can't really get into music nowadays. It's just crap. But.
Well, okay, let me ask you this. Do you find it insulting when folks of your own race, and white as well, you know, will do that thing where someone will go, well, white women aren't, black women aren't Republicans, or black women don't listen to Soundgarden, or black women don't this, that, and the other, and then you go, oh, Shamor does all that, or listens to that, or votes that way, and then they go, well, she's not really black. She's not black. Well, because you don't agree with them, all of a sudden you've lost your skin tone, your skin color, because you disagree with somebody? I would find that insulting.
It really is, and you guys talked about how bad your 10th grade was. My 7th and 8th grade was the absolute worst because we moved to Clovis.
Mm-hmm.
So if anybody knows, it's right outside of Fresno. So imagine that in 1986. So you can imagine we were like one of only three black families in the whole city.
Mm-hmm.
So I would go there, and I don't know if they were so much racist, just not used to black people. And mm-hmm. So they really didn't know, oh, you know, Shamar, I was kind of worried, but you're okay. It's like, well, what were you worried about?
Yeah. Well, look, people are freaked out about the unknown, and exactly. If you didn't grow up around it, then you're freaked out about
it. Right. And growing up, I always heard, oh, and this is really what killed me. We've moved back to Fontana now, but a lot of my family is still in the ghetto portions of San Bernardino, Fontana. And I would go to their house, and they'd say, you talk like a white girl. Because
true that, peeps.
Right. Yeah.
Well, I was always intimidated of black women growing up because I heard they had huge penises.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, no.
No, I was actually, the only person that still really ever beat me up was a black woman.
Everyone says that.
I've been in quite a few scraps, and the one that really got the best of me was a heavy-set black woman.
Well, beat
the crap out of me, and especially during my formative sexual years. I was about 13 when she did it. So it really stunted what I like to feel is my sexual growth.
Well, most people don't know what Kwanzaa is, and that's when we black women have our penises removed.
Oh, I see. Well, this chick beat Kwanzaa into me on a schoolyard in 1978. But thank you, Shamor.
Oh, and really quickly, can I just say to Teresa, I love you. I think you're great. And I don't begrudge you any success or opportunities, but I'm so glad you've gone from TMC because that's really beneath you.
Oh, thank you, Shamor, for all that.
Thank you, Shamor. And I know you guys are mortal enemies, he being a Jewess, you being a woman of color. But I feel like if you two could come together, maybe you could help lead the nation.
Listen, as I've said, look at my mom and my stepdad bringing together the Jews and the blacks.
All right.
At least for a moment in time.
Right. Or just paying back your mom's family. That's the way I look at it. All right, where the heck were we? Ah, yes. What else was I complaining about? Yeah, well, I'll tell you something. Okay, so Shamor brought up her husband who worked in as a correctional officer. And you hear about these guys that have jobs at slaughterhouses or worse, really, prisons. Seeing that and what it does to you and how much drag you down. You know what I mean? Because, after all, what is a room with a view?
You're not a movie?
Yes. You're not
Merchant Ivory.
You're not going out and looking at the view. You're climbing into the view. It's your view.
Yeah.
So, psychologically, you live in an apartment or you live in a house and you have a big bay window and you open it and either you look at cinder blocks with graffiti on them or you look at the beautiful Pacific Ocean. Practically doesn't make a difference. You're not going to get in your trunks and go down and swim in the ocean. But emotionally, it is a huge difference. And again, if there's a cinder block wall that's 2 foot on the other side of your bay window, that's not going to make a difference, just like a beautiful meadow wouldn't make a difference, but emotionally huge. So if you work in that environment, think about the impact that has. But dig this, because I just got back from one of the friendlier places I've ever been. I went to Victoria, which is an island off of Vancouver in British Columbia.
And beautiful looking, by the way.
Not only beautiful looking, but as I made my way through the many airports you have to go through to get the puddle jumper to get out there and so on and so forth, I encountered security. And the security said things like, have a nice flight. Hey, okay. And, you know, you'd pull up and they, first off, they knew you weren't a terrorist and didn't treat you that way because you were a couple and you're going to British Columbia and you're flying a small plane that couldn't be flown into anything and hurt anything. It wouldn't knock over a tree if you rammed it, you know, if you commandeered it and flew it in. So A, they knew they weren't dealing with terrorists. B, they could see by the way you looked and by the way you dressed, you weren't causing any mischief or any trouble. You just wanted to quietly pass through their security to get to the next place you're going to. They also seemed to realize you were the reason they had jobs instead of the other way around. See, security out here at LAX, you're bothering them when you show up at their airport. Oh, good Christ. I have to talk to somebody else. I have to hold this wand up. I wish you people, see, some people have jobs and they approach it like, well, if you people would all just go away, I could be left alone. Well, untrue. You wouldn't have a job if we all went away. But lots of have a nice flight, have a safe flight, good to see you. Lots of, you know, sort of lighthearted whatever. Go ahead. Just an easy, relaxed, friendly environment. When is the last time, by the way, passing through LAX, somebody said have a nice flight or thank you or any of that? Yeah, the chick looks at your thing. You know, it's like ID, boarding pass and boarding pass and ID, and then you hand it to them, and they go. They just hand it back to you. They just shove it, and you keep going. And, you know, there's that sort of thing where people go, ah, they're overstressed. Ah, F that. What do you mean? And by the way, I'm sorry, but it comes down to a cultural thing. Most of the people that work security are of something, some other nationality other than white. They're everything, but they're not white. And the inference is you can't really tell them to say hi or be nice because that would be imposing a cultural thing on them. Like, well, white people say hi, but she's, I don't know where. I don't know where her family's from. So thus you can't really tell her. BS. Let's start talking to these people and whoever their supervisors are, walk around and go, hey, I don't like your attitude or take that puss off. This is a this couple's going to Hawaii for their honeymoon. How about you lose the attitude and the stink eye? Why can't we do it? It could be done. If you own a restaurant, you can tell everybody who works at your restaurant, hey, I don't want you throwing the iced tea down and going, and then walking away. I will fire your ass if I see you doing that. I want you to say, come again. Have a nice day. Enjoy your flight. Go ahead. And if there's 1,000 people you have to say to a day, then so be it. That's part of the gig. Or I will fire your miserable ass. Because L.A. is filled with miserable people that just surround us. I mean, just think about how you're treated by security, just in general, in Los Angeles, the security, whether it's the guy working the gate, whether it's the guy behind the loose side at the gas station, whether it's the guy working over at the airport. Think about the horrible attitude these people have. Just picture the look on their face when you hand them the ticket stub. And here's the other thing we need to figure out, too. I don't know when to pull the ID out and when not to pull the ID out at the airport. Because when you're going through, especially when you're going through Canada, you have to go through customs. When you go to LA, you have to go through customs, all this. And there's all this ID and ticket, boarding pass and ID. And then you get to the next gate. No, just the boarding pass, no ID. And then you pass through security and you go through. Yeah, I need some ID before you get on. It's like I pulled the ID out 6 times before I got here. Then I was asked not to pull it out. Now you need it again when I'm standing at the gate and showing the thing. I really have no idea if somebody wants it or not. How about some signs? How about a nice big universal green ID that went over all the stations you're at? Or are we just going to have the super pissed off person from I don't know where go, but tick ID, you, people get your IDs. We need to see ID, and we need your boarding pass and ID. Boarding pass and ID. ID and boarding pass. Here, ID, boarding pass. That's half the reason these guys are PO'd because people pull up and they don't know. And by the way, the other thing is shoes off at this airport, shoes on at the next airport, then shoes off again, then shoes on again. Can we go ahead and just create a standard for the shoes on, shoes off? Nothing worse, by the way, than you pulling the shoes off and then realizing you didn't have to take your shoes off as you carry your stinky shoes through the metal detector. All I'm saying is this. Let's just go with some universal signs. Big universal ID sign, big universal take your shoes off. And here's the other one I love. As I said, leaving Burbank 2 weeks ago to go to Phoenix, go ahead and take the toiletry bag out. No problemo. No, put it in the clear bag. None of that crap. Then coming back in Phoenix, hey, buddy, let's empty that toiletry bag out into the trash can because you don't have it in the baggie. By the way, the baggie that you didn't take because they didn't stop you in Burbank. Then you go to LAX. Oh, no baggie. You don't need the baggie. We're not going to check toiletry bag. So no toiletry bag check in Burbank. Toiletry bag check in Phoenix. None in LAX. Really? Are we just allowed to make our rules up from municipality to municipality? And how about this? I don't want the cockpit door in Los Angeles. How about we just get rid of that? Well, this is L.A., man. We don't have a cockpit. We have beads. We hang beads like some sort of groovy 60s apartment. That's what we do.
The cherry on the insulting Sunday is when the ultra condescending, oh, we don't do that here. Or you don't need that. The idea, oh, you don't need that anymore. It's like, all right, I didn't know.
I don't know.
I think your platform of uniformity and courtesy in our airports can be one of your many platforms for your campaign.
The only thing that's good about all the a-holes that work security at L.A., and by the way, when I say LAX, I mean almost every, as I've said, every form of security in Los Angeles. The only thing that's good about it is I think it would scare nice people from other places from moving here. Because once you get that stink eye, once you get that super scary stink eye from everybody who works at the airport that you pass through to come visit our fair city, I wouldn't want to live here.
Now, when you don't get a simple thank you, are you ever tempted to do the super condescending, you're welcome?
No, I realize the, and by the way, it's always the same woman who stands in front of the security line at LAX. She is 50-something. She's seems to be 5 or 6 nationalities packed into one Cuisinart. Right. I'm not sure what she is.
The intersection of many ethnicities.
Most of the time they're black, but oftentimes they're a whole bunch of different things. They're anything but white. I don't know why, and I don't know, I'm not trying to sound racist. I'm simply saying, there are less than 5% white people working security at LAX. That's the way it goes. There's somebody that's a nationality. I don't know what they are. And the reason I bring it up, there's some culture problem they have. They're not comfortable with the language enough to say thank you or to make eye contact or whatever. But they take the woman with the least personality. I mean, this woman seems like the last woman you'd want to sit next to at a diner. You know what I mean? At the counter of a diner or spend any time with. I mean, could anyone imagine driving cross country with the woman that takes the tickets at LAX and the security line? So it's a crazy nationality, perhaps 3 or 4. The woman is always in her 50s. She's always short. I don't know. Maybe it's easier to look at the tickets when your hand can only extend 4 inches from your
advantage.
Face. She's short. She's squatty. She's stuffed into a maroon blazer and she is S-ripped. PO'd and miserable. She just seems like she's standing on a tack and somebody hot glued her feet to her spot. And she always seems like she's on hour 15 of whatever she's doing. And she just sits there and she goes, ID, boarding pass. And then she goes. Then she gets a little PO'd if you show up and you don't have your S ready for her. And then she takes a little sigh. And then she hands it back to you and that's it.
Whips the highlighter over it.
That's right. The highlighter over it. First off, I would not trust this woman to do anything. Would you? Would you trust her to teach your kids or paint your house or fix your transmission? No, I would not trust her to do anything, much less security. But let's go ahead and give a little makeover to these folks. Let's go ahead and take them and look, how about this? You know all the retarded sensitivity training we're supposed to have and sexual harassment classes we're supposed to take that do nothing because no duh. You're not supposed to sexually harass somebody in the workplace and you're not supposed to drop N-bombs at the workplace. You know all that waste of time? I'm sure they're forced to go through that retarded dance. That dance of the dummies, that huge waste of time. I'm sure they're forced to pass through all that. How about an hour worth of drop the attitude? As long as we're assembling all you people and talking about topics that don't matter, here's one that does. How about you paint a smile on your face or we'll fire your ass? How about it? And then there's always this one, too. There's the people who like to apologize for all these people. You know, they're more miserable. They're miserable. I don't care if you're miserable. Whatever your job is, if you're a cop that likes writing tickets for no reason, yeah, you're miserable. Look, I'm sure rapists and serial killers are unhappy. Should we cut him some slack? Hey, man, he's really upset. So hold still while he rapes you, and then he's going to scatter your parts out in the countryside. No, he's miserable. We're all miserable. I'm going to some crappy thing I don't want to go to in Phoenix. How about that? So it's a tie. We're both miserable, except for you're getting paid. Now put a goddamn smile on your miserable face or we'll fire your ass. Thank you.
Go home and get your fucking shine box.
Look, does anyone disagree with this? And please be honest and tell me you know it's a cultural thing.
I've experienced some rude white people at the airport.
No. Not that white people aren't rude. White people are rude. That we don't tell the people of another culture. And I'm not just saying black. I'm saying every culture. That some white guy who's their supervisor is scared to pull that chick aside and go, hey, smile up, would you, baby? Or we'll toss your ass.
When you're in the, when you're interfacing with customers, no matter what, please, thank you, and have a nice day.
Thank
smile.
You. Yes. Todd says I'm out of touch. Todd?
Hey, Adam. How's it going?
What's
morning?
Happening?
Hey, you know what? I do think you are a bit out of touch. I mean, one thing that they failed to note was I work here at the airport in Las Vegas.
Yeah. Oh. McCarran.
Oh, no.
Good times.
Oh, no.
And I feel your pain about the TSA, but one thing you have to understand is the airport itself, mm-hmm. they have no control over the TSA. It's a federal organization.
Well, I'm not saying the airport. I'm just saying whoever controls these people.
Yeah, it's hard, dude. They all just have the worst.
What do you do
attitude.
At the airport, Todd?
Pardon me?
What do you do there at the airport in Vegas?
Oh, gosh. I'm a welder.
Hey, good times. And the other thing, too, is, look, McCarran needs to revise their whole strategy because that whole hub over there, that Southwest hub, it's a two-hour wait. I mean, there's 9,000 people
they
in that
to put
line.
A second airport on top of the original airport.
Right.
It's so inadequate.
Hey, though, Todd, let me say this. I don't think I'm out of touch demanding that people be friendlier in a job where arguably you meet more public than any other job. Do you know what I'm saying? More than a school teacher or a librarian, there are more faces that pass by you working this gig than a traffic cop will see, and I mean a guy standing in an intersection, will see in a lifetime. You'll do that in a day. Why not correct the attitude? And I know it's not the airport, so tell the TSA to do it. Hey, Todd?
Yeah. I wish it was that simple. It's just, you know,
it is that simple. Here's what it is. Here's how simple it is. Hey, fat 50 something year old chick who seems like she's standing on a pile of glass and PO'd. Paint a smile on your face and every single person that walks past you say, have a nice flight or I will fire your ass. And then guess what? You'll be more miserable. How about that? And here's the good news. Ironically, you'll be put in a better mood if you smile a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
What do you mean? You wish it was that easy.
It is that easy.
It is that easy. There's 9 people that work that. Pull them aside and tell them to put a smile on their face and say, have a nice flight.
Yeah, and then you can have, you know, for example, when I worked at Houlihan's, they had spies come in and sit down for a meal. And if you didn't suggest an appetizer or say, enjoy your meal,
right.
if you didn't do all of the polite things you're supposed to do.
I was one of those spies, one of those
you
secret
were?
Shoppers. Oh, absolutely.
That's how we got to 250.
That's exactly right.
Right?
Jack in the Box.
But you could have that at the airport. Make sure people say please and thank you.
Here's how I know you can do it. I just traveled to 3 airports where they did that. Just people in all different colors and all different races sitting there going, have a nice flight. Good to see you. Enjoy your stay. That's it. All right. We need to take a break. I'm 15 minutes late already. I'm going to come back and wrap more with you folks because I'm fired up this morning. Lots of questions. We'll answer them next.
To the Adam Carolla Show and another episode of How Bad Is Whoopi? In today's episode, Whoopi discusses the candidates in the upcoming presidential election.
It's really interesting because I don't think any of them are particularly any way or the other. You know, whatever needs to be said on all accounts. McCain, Republicans, Democrats, they're all saying whatever they think is going to get them to the place they want to get to.
Stay tuned for more How Bad Is Whoopi? Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Sorry, T, you're just not view material.
I know. I now have a very richly hued understanding of the presidential race that I didn't have before hearing that.
I did too. As a matter of fact, I just decided who to vote on based on Whoopi.
That was
staggering
new information
through
for
that
me.
Explanation. Yeah. And she's one of the better ones on that show.
We learned that there's a lot of issues.
This is why I laugh every time I say it's the greatest gig ever, because it starts at 10 a.m. and it ends at 11 a.m. And everyone says, yeah, but you have to get there early and prep. And then I say, have you seen the show? I don't think there's any prepping going on. All right. Let's see. Somebody wants to agree with me. Patrick?
Adam.
Patrick, what's happening? You work security?
Ace man, I'm a white man working security.
Wow.
Are you polite?
You know what? I'm exceedingly polite.
And do you work at a convenience store? Where do you work?
I actually work at a country club out here in the Palm Desert area.
It's got to be tough, all those old, rich, white golfers.
Yes, hello. My name is Graham.
You know, yeah, they're really rude.
Yeah, you don't deal with the masses like you would if you worked at an airport.
This is true. This is true. Very select cross-section coming through here.
Well, the whole thing, look, quite honestly, thanks, Patrick. Quite honestly, working security, there's different types of security. There's the kind of security where you're working in a prison and you're going in there with shoulder pads and a helmet on and breaking up a gang, you know, violence that's going on in a handball court. And then there's the one where you just stand there and look at something. You don't have a gun or even any pepper spray. The guy who's working in the prison, you don't have to say thanks, come again. Right. I don't need that guy, though it would be funny and ironic when he let people out of the prison if he said thank you, come again.
See you next time.
But the one who's just looking at the boarding pass, she needs to paint a smile on her face, because that's all she's doing.
Right. I mean, it's going to be inconvenient and there are going to be hassles and waits.
Right.
If everyone's just a little polite.
Yeah. Hey, Rich.
Ace man. Oh, I can't believe I got through. I love the show. I've been listening for like 2 years, 4 hours a day.
Thank you, Rich.
You have the funniest radio show I've ever heard. I love you. But super genius, Bri. There's nobody with the sense of humor and cat-like reflexes you have.
He does. Napping cat-like reflexes. That's right.
Teresa, you're extremely funny, very quick-witted, beautiful. There's only one problem with you.
Yeah?
You're a little too skinny. You need to eat so much.
Oh, God bless you.
Hey. So I said it. Nose too small, ass too narrow. That's the problem.
Just put some meat on my bones.
Yes. But I wanted to say that I'm a born-again Christian that you have influenced to run left turn arrows like I just rocked a bank.
Oh, feels great, doesn't it?
It's
how
so
liberating.
It is great.
Yeah, and it gets easier, right? Your first one's a little tough, and then after that it becomes easy to run those arrows.
Rich, it's against the laws of man, but not God.
Exactly. We're getting to our destination faster.
Yes, he gave us a brain. We should use it. We have reasoning. It's what puts us above the animal kingdom. Yes?
Right.
The ass. I always love when they say the ass. I'd always chuckle. You know what I mean? They'd go like, it's what makes man different from the bison and the ass and the other. Just, you know what I mean? Once in a while, there's some weird thing about like some old guy saying, that's queer. You just got to sort of update things or
right.
The 9-year-olds will chuckle. All right.
So, like when you used to call a mistake a boner.
Yeah,
yes,
I love that.
Sorry, I pulled a boner when I was talking about your ass.
Pulled a boner right out of your ass.
Oh, easy, baby.
Teresa.
That was a mistake.
And the end of our show, Bald Brian. We'll take a quick break.
Yes.
Tease the news.
Well, we've been talking about the Super Bowl. We'll do that a little bit more and some Super Bowl commercials.
What do you play?
I know you had to play something.
I play the oboe.
The what?
We'll take a quick break. Back with that next.
Coming up this morning on the Adam Carolla Show, it's Music Monday. Since Super Tuesday is tomorrow, we're going to play you the best and the worst songs for each presidential candidate. L.A. Inc.'s Kat Von D. joins us in studio.
We went nuts.
We'll talk to Arrested Development's Jeffrey Tambor.
Somebody better tell me which hole pissed all over my office. I'm going to call the police.
And Teresa Strasser delivers the news.
Is the world safe for Craigslist hookers anymore?
We'll talk to you at 866-901-ADAM.
I like the name Sperm Whale.
And get us on your computer at work. Just go to adamcarolla.com and click on Listen Live.
Man, am I lonely. Boy, do I miss the inside of your mouth and your belly.
And now here he is, Adam Carolla.
Well, here she is, Teresa Strasser, in her news.
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news today from MSN.com.
In case somehow you missed the Super Bowl, the New York Giants upset the New England Patriots 17-14. The Patriots were undefeated in the regular season and obviously the playoffs.
I was yelling at our cab driver to drive, drive like the wind. I was literally, I had a riding crop, and I was beating him as I was driving home from the airport because I landed at LAX. Yesterday at about 2:45, the idea was to jump into a cab and get to Kimmel's as fast as we could, and I had to tell this puke to drive, which he didn't want to do. And then at a certain point, he missed a light that he easily could have made. You know, the guy starts slowing down 100 feet in advance, and it's like, and then he gives you that look like, hey, we missed it. And it's like, no, you missed it 200 feet ago when you start applying the brake instead of speeding up to make it. But either way,
the equivalent to punting in the other team's territory.
Right.
When you're down.
Yes. Yes. The yellow light means speed up, not slow down in my book. But anyway, at a certain point when we hit some traffic and we had to wait at a red turn arrow because I couldn't. This is why I like to drive myself. We're behind like 14 people, and I'm saying to myself, what the F is going on? And then I started getting angry at everyone else. What are you people doing out on the road? Who are you people? It's Super Bowl Sunday. The game starts. I'm listening to Jordan Sparks singing our national anthem, and I'm sitting in traffic in Hollywood, and I'm pissed at every car in front of me thinking, I have an excuse. I was out of town, and I'm hurrying to get to Jimmy's house to keep my buzz on and to root on the Giants.
Don't you know this is an emergency?
What are you people doing? I wanted to get out of the car and accost people. Like, I was in Hollywood, and we missed the signal, and there was pedestrians, a lot of them, just walking, just slowly meandering by the front of my vehicle. And I was like, what are you? Why are you people not in front of a TV set? This is sacrilege. Sorry, T.
How about a sting operation where you round up everyone on Super Bowl Sunday during the game?
Yes, Operation Bad Americans.
Right.
You're either folks that are, first off, you're either part of some sleeper cell. There's some Saudi nationals that are in here. They're undocumented. Or you've somehow swam the Rio Grande or tunneled under a fence, whatever. You're not here. You should not be in this country. And I don't care if you're born in Arkansas. I will deport your ass to Mexico. That's right. Because Americans watch the Super Bowl on Sunday. That's it.
Generally, it's not worth watching during the fourth quarter, but it was a great game, except if you happen to be from Massachusetts, Rhode Island, New Hampshire, Vermont, or Maine.
Yes.
The Giants' win wouldn't have happened without an almost miraculous third down play. As time ticked away during their final drive, Eli Manning was swarmed by defenders and looked certain to be sacked, but he somehow managed to scramble out of the pack and get off a long, almost Hail Mary throw on the run. Wide receiver David Tyree took the ball out of the air and then somehow held on to a circus catch off his helmet as he was being brought heavily to the ground by a defender. Here is the play that kept the Giants' final drive alive.
Third down and 5. Pressure from Thomas off the edge. Eli Manning stays on his feet. Airs it out down the field. It is caught by Tyree. Inside the 25 and a timeout taken.
The all-time crazy Super Bowl plays.
He pinned the ball to the top of his helmet, and Rodney Harrison, couldn't have happened to a better guy, by the way, made a great defensive play. I mean, he literally had his hand stuffed into it. You know, what people sort of forget about that play is usually when the quarterback avoids a sack and he was grabbed by two or three guys, usually if he can avoid that and you think he was down but he's not down, the DBs slack off a little bit. The defensive backs go, oh, we got a sack going here. And especially that ain't John Elway in 1985. That is Eli Manning in 08, and he's going down because he has some of the most sure-handed defensive guys and they're in his grasp. So normally when that play happens and the guy miraculously gets away, there's a guy wide open that they throw the ball to, and that makes it a great play, but not the part where the guy caught the ball because he was wide open after the guy eludes the sack. Rodney Harrison was all over this guy. He throws a frozen rope down to the center of the field. Tyree goes up to get it. Rodney Harrison's hand is right there. I mean, you got to tip your hat to Rodney Harrison and the other DBs for the Pats for staying on their guy when their guy was set, when they thought the quarterback was sacked. So Harrison makes a great play. He's on the guy. He gets his hand on the ball and he, you know, tries to strip it, and he strips one of the guy's hands away from the ball. Yeah. So he pins it to the top of his helmet with the other hand. It's what, you know, it's one of those things where you love to see it in sports, and it's why it's great. The defensive players made a good attempt at a sack. They had their hands on him, but they just couldn't bring him down. Eli Manning makes a great play. The receiver makes a great play. And Rodney Harrison makes a great play, too. It just couldn't get the ball popped out of there.
Yep, great individual effort.
All right.
Another compelling part of the game was that they had the Peyton Manning camera. I mean, they would cut to Peyton periodically during the game, and you could see he was by himself. And mm-hmm. in a suit, standing, pacing, just looked like he was drinking water, not having a good time, very nervous for his brother.
Right.
As, of course, you know, Peyton won the Super Bowl last year with the Colts, mm-hmm. and he talked about watching his little brother.
You try to remember the emotions that you felt at this time last year, but it's hard to believe I could have been much happier than I am right now. Just the excitement of the entire game and seeing that ball go into Plaxico's hands and then seeing Brady's fourth quarter fourth down pass falling complete, knowing it was truly over. It's one of the happiest times of my life, I promise you.
Yeah, they cut up to the stands and they showed him, and earlier they cut up and showed another guy named Jeremy Shockey.
He had that nine so drinks in front of him.
He's getting loaded yeah. up in the stands. He should have been
on the dime.
Why wasn't he on the field?
Yes. I don't know.
And by the way, yeah, Shockey's got a couple of Pro Bowls under his belt, and he has a guy who's a first-year guy from, like, Mississippi, whatever, who's playing in the Super Bowl, some 22-year-old guy. Boss is filling in and doing a great job filling in. As the guy who's the Pro Bowl tight end and been in the league for six seasons, aren't you supposed to be standing on the sideline? And every time Boss runs off, you've got to chip the outside linebacker before you settle down. Settle in a zone. You went too deep on that hook pattern. You're right in their hook zones. He's up there getting loaded
and paid. He's on the payroll.
He appeared to have three different alcoholic beverages in front of him. He had a margarita and a beer.
The only part of the story I respect, but you do what I do. You put the Jamesons in a Gatorade cup and you go down to the field.
Right.
And he must either be loathed by his teammates or the coaching staff have zero respect for him as a player. Or maybe there's a part of him that's PO'd because he knows the guy who's stepping in mm-hmm. is actually playing better than he's playing, blocking better and catching, ironically, better as well. But shouldn't he have been down there with his teammates, like wearing his jersey?
Very strange.
It was very weird. And then what happens? Like, he's up there and he's like, hey, I'm watching from up here, and Boss is not getting off the line. I'm gonna write a note on this cocktail napkin. Sweetie, could you think you could bring this down to the field and hand it to Boss over there? He's in the 80s. He's a big white dude. Hand him this. Yeah. Get down on the field and help your team. Cheer them along, at least.
That was strange.
Very strange.
A lot of good commercials, some not so good.
He left early.
He did.
After the Pats scored, he just thought this game's over. I'm going back to the hotel.
Wow. I don't need to see the end. I know how it ends.
Right.
The NFL's ad in the third quarter featuring Chester Pitts from the Houston Texans, who played oboe and bagged groceries and had no interest in football until he ended up becoming an NFL starter, was an amazing ad. Great story. Well done, commercial. Here is part of it.
In San Diego, there was this grocery store we all went to. Every time I went in there, there was this big guy. I mean, he was huge.
And I asked him one day, I was like, you ever play football?
You play football?
No, sir.
And I was like, come on, man.
What do you play?
I know you had to play something.
I play the oboe.
The what?
It's a member of the Woodwind family.
Okay.
You should play football.
He was like, really? And I was like, play football. So he goes to the coach.
What do you play?
Play the oboe.
You play the oboe.
He walked on.
Hi, I'm Chester.
Ooh. What do you know? He ends up starting. Gets drafted in the second round.
He was bagging groceries.
I got drafted in the seventh round.
Wow.
This is about my man, Chester Pitts. He's my starting left guard for the Houston Texans. I mean, here's a guy living the dream. Listen to me. He didn't even have the dream until I told him to dream it. And now, we're in the Super Bowl.
Kind of. Sort of.
Yeah,
I was half in the bag when that thing
came out. I remember that very much.
I was just loaded.
How about Barkley and Dwayne Wade, the T-Mobile commercial
mm-hmm.
that I thought was cute?
Either play better or call in sick. You like popsicles?
You ever been to Amsterdam?
Everybody else has left the locker room.
That's why I don't eat shrimp.
I need to come hang out with you because I am really bored.
I'm losing you, buddy. I'm driving through a tunnel.
You're not driving through no tunnel.
Hey, Chuck.
What is it, Chuck?
Hey, Chuck.
What, Chuck?
Hey, Chuck.
What's wrong? Are you asleep?
Wake up, Dwayne.
You know who it is.
Who's in your fave five? My faves, only from T-Mobile.
That story never gets old.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Lots of brothers on the commercials this year.
Yeah.
We should use that.
How so?
Well, you know, like when Jesse Jackson is, you know, getting uppity and coming after us and PO'd about stuff, we just go, hey, man, look at the Super Bowl commercials. Seem right. About half brothers this year. And where are the Asians?
Oh, there was it. Did you see? I think it was E-Sales. They did two commercials.
Very classy.
The first one, I thought, oh, this is kind of offensive to Indian people. Mm-hmm. And then they did another one. I thought, wow, now this is offensive to the Asians.
Mm-hmm. Eastern Indian. Or American Indian.
Eastern Indian. And mm-hmm. then Asian, they had like pandas, and the guy had a kind of cartoonish, thick Asian accent. It was on the
borderline.
Stereotyping? Yeah.
I'm offended.
Well, this is going to probably hurt you worse.
Hmm.
I know that you had the McFever.
Yeah.
Catherine McPhee.
I did.
Well, she's married. Mm-hmm. She got married on Saturday. She's 23, and she married a 42-year-old guy, Nick Kokas.
Mm-hmm.
So she's off. Mm-hmm. Off the table.
Yeah. Bad times. I miss her.
Yeah.
And then I miss us. That's who I miss.
Jordan Sparks, speaking of American Idols, she sang the national anthem. She did a nice job, I thought. I know you were in a cab.
I was yelling at a cab driver, so I didn't hear it. I was mushing it. I was sitting. It's one of those things, too, where, you know, you get in the cab line, and the cab you want is the cab behind this one, because this is the beat-up minivan with the wheelchair access ramp that weighs 4,000 pounds and is rattling, and you have to sit in the very back. And there's a Caprice Classic that's brand new that's sitting right behind that I want to haul ass in, but I got to get in the stupid van with the crazy guy. And he's got the... By the way, he's one of these guys... my mom does this, too. Has the steering wheel pad over the steering wheel... look, I don't know how sensitive your hands are, but I'm already looking at about an inch and a half of nappy leather and foam rubber padding. Do you really need to add another eighth inch of Naga hide to that thing?
Don't knock it until you try it.
Has anyone ever put their hands on their steering wheel and went, oh, Christ. Oh, Jesus, that padded leather. It's brutal. It's horrible. Those big, paddy, grippy, leathery things with all the foam rubber. I must add a second piece of rubber to this.
How those catch on?
Here's how they caught on.
Fire.
Here's how the steering wheel pad caught on. Because in the steering wheels formerly were just skinny pieces of plastic that were hard plastic that I guess would take their toll, although what else do you have? A pencil pad? Oh man, this pencil, it's killing my hand. I like to wrap it in foam. I mean, do you know what I mean? Like, your telephone. Your telephone is a hard piece of plastic that you hold up to your head, right? Do you have to put a bunch of foam on it? Like, how sensitive is your touch and your skin? But, all right, back in the day, back in the 60s and 70s, they made these skinny steering wheels out of wood or plastic or whatever. So somebody decided, all right, well, let's get a pad for it. Now, every car that's manufactured and everyone that's been manufactured in the last 15 years has a thick, padded steering wheel that's either leather or plastic and has a whole bunch of foam rubber on it. And by the way, I don't, you know, I'm not Mr. Safety on the road, but it seems to me harder to handle the vehicle with that truck inner tube that you have loosely strapped to it that goes around it that I feel like could just keep turning like it's some sort of childproof device on a steering wheel. I feel like for every 19 times you turn that, the steering wheel turns half a turn.
Negates the power to the
steering. Right. But again, how comfortable do you have to be? And then where does it end? Well, I need a pad for the seat of the van too, because that's just a bunch of padded cloth. You know what I'm saying? All right. All right. Anyway. It doesn't instill confidence in me. There's nobody who drives a sports car or who drives fast or who races cars where has one of those additional steering wheel pads.
Yeah, it's not associated with elite drivers.
Yeah, and then there's the ones that have like an Angora sheep on them. Have you ever seen those, or rabbit or whatever Angora comes from? You'll see the ones that look like the troll doll hair. I mean, seriously, they'll be the one with that chick driving with the pink one that's all furry and nappy. Doesn't that have to be dangerous? Okay.
Do you own driving gloves or driving shoes? I've always wondered about people who own those things.
No, the thing about driving shoes is I have gotten them as gifts, and they're good when you're driving a race car because sometimes the pedals are really close together and you do this sort of double pedal thing, and you don't want to be wearing the waffle stompers and have your soles rub against each other while you're trying to do it. But no, you don't need the gloves. It doesn't make a difference. Sorry to you, go ahead.
Britney Spears will not be leaving the UCLA Medical Center psych ward today. Her 72-hour hold, the 5150, has been extended to a two-week stay.
She's a hit.
Yeah, her psychiatrist would have to be the one to make that call, but apparently Britney can still get out early if she legally demands to be released or if her doctor decides she can handle outpatient treatment. Unlike during her initial 72-hour hold, Britney can now be forced to take medication. Meanwhile, Britney's parents are back in control, at least temporarily. Her dad, Jamie Spears, was awarded temporary conservatorship over Britney and her estate on Friday, but it was only scheduled to last through the weekend, meaning the arrangement could change yet again at a hearing scheduled for today. Now, Brian's buddy, Sam Lutfi, has now a restraining order against him.
Really?
Jamie and Lynn Spears asked for and received a temporary restraining order against Britney's so-called manager, Sam Lutfi. That means he's out of the picture for now. The order is good for 22 days.
Well, so he doesn't have to visit her to hospital, right?
Well, I think he's in a tug of war over who has control over her estate with her parents.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I could say none of us saw this coming when we were all buddies with Sam in college, but we all saw.
Really?
This is not surprising to
me. Well, what kind of guy was he in college?
Sam's a good guy. He's a good friend. I've been actually on bachelor parties
Salt
with him.
Salt of the earth.
Sure, good people. But none of us would hesitate to describe him as shady. You know what I'm saying? A shady individual. So just from, and again, a friend, but none of it's surprising.
Yeah, shifty. I've known a few of those guys. I don't know if it's them or their parents did a horrible job. I do always think their parents did a horrible job on some level. And by the way, people go, well, it's not their fault because their parents didn't. Well, nature or nurture, you tell me. Somehow they did something wrong.
Well, the Spears aren't looking too good right now. Apparently, Britney's angry at them. She hates her dad. Mm-hmm. And, of course, their other daughter has been sort of hidden away. She's, of course, pregnant.
Right.
Doesn't make her a bad person.
No.
At the box office this weekend, the Hannah Montana 3D concert movie set a couple of new records over the weekend, earning $29 million, making it the first 3D movie to ever open at number one.
Okay, let me say this. First off, that movie opened on 700 screens. A big movie, your Good Luck Chucks of the world, those things open on like 2,600 screens or 2,400 screens. So 700 screens. Now, obviously, if you're on 2,000 more screens, that's 2,000 more opportunities for you to make a buck. I don't know why they didn't open on more. Maybe they will open on more this coming weekend. I'm sure that's what the plan is. Or maybe they couldn't accommodate the 3D projection. I don't know what the story is. But to do what that movie did on 700 screens is amazing and sad. I'll tell you why it's sad.
Yeah.
Because we are all K-whipped. That's right, the kids.
Tweens.
The tweens are whipping us as parents. If I would have said to my dad, hey, Dad, hey, Leif Garrett's got a new... Are you high? Hey, Dad, how about you drive me... how about I make this foil into a ball and you kick it around your dirt lawn?
Yeah, hello?
All right, and I'll tell you what, you play your cards right, you can drink off the hose later on before you go to bed. I'm thinking about making SpaghettiOs again. Who's in?
I was on the front lines of this story. I actually went to the theater on Saturday to see a different movie, and there were kids everywhere. Mm-hmm. They were going bananas for this movie.
He went to go see High School Musical 3,
that's right.
And it turns out there were some folks that were in line for this movie. Yeah, look, you parents should not be taking your kids to $15 movies, and that's the other reason it made a bunch of money. I was talking to my agent this weekend. He's like, he had to take all his daughters and he'd take them across town to this theater, and it was $15 a pop. And I don't know why. If it's 3D goggles or it's like a concert or whatever they get to do. And I guess they factor that in. I mean, in terms of the sales receipts.
Sure, it made $29 million bucks, rounding out the top three. The Eye at number two, making only $13 million. Number three, 27 Dresses with Katherine Heigl. I'm Teresa Strasser, and that's the news fueled by MSN.com. Have you gone to MSN today?
Teresa Strasser and MSN.com with tomorrow's news. today.
Parents, stop dragging your kids all over the place. They're kids. They're supposed to use their imagination, not put 3D goggles on and have everything put before them so they could consume it. I was talking to my wife about what kids, where our kids are going to go to preschool. And I'm like, well, when's preschool? Well, there's preschool and then there's preschool. When's that start? Ooh, 2 years. 2 years. You even know where you are when you're 2 years old. For all I know, I'll just tell them my house is preschool.
Yeah.
They don't, as I've said before, my kids think they're in Mexico. They don't even know where they are at this point. They speak fluent Spanish. That's it. Someone's going to hire a tutor to teach them English. They don't, what? And then there's that whole thing where it's like, well, yeah, you got to go to preschool because they have to learn to interact with other individuals. Right. I'm feeling pretty confident that they're going to go ahead and meet other human beings on this planet before, let's say, their 60th birthday.
Yeah.
And what? Elmo.
They're going to meet Elmo. They worship Elmo. My kids already hanging around a bunch of people at their house, including myself part-time, of course. What do they need? What do they need? They have to go be exposed to other kids and they have to be exposed. What is this?
I don't know. We didn't have Gymboree. When we were kids, we were fine, right?
Yeah, somehow, here's the notion. If you don't go take your kids and pay somebody else to watch them with a whole bunch of other lazy parents that have paid someone to watch their kids and they don't learn to interact, somehow my kid's going to be 18 years old and some guy's going to sit next to him at a bus stop and go, hello, and he's going to freak out and bite him. Ernie.
Big fan. Big fan.
Look, and by the way, what are my kids doing that's going to be so important when they're adults that they need all these life skills? Leave them alone.
Say?
Leave them alone.
You don't have high hopes?
Oh, listen, I'm realistic. I'm not setting the bar high. But if it turns out that, they exceed my goals and become a C-minus student, I'll be elated.
Anything above a D?
Yes, that's a good grade. Look, who cares? And really, how long do you think you're going to spend on this planet without being exposed to other people?
I know.
Okay.
I know.
They need to learn how to get along with others. You don't think they're going to run into other kids at some point?
Well, listen, you stuck to your guns about the helmet, and Sonny's head looks fine.
Of course. Idiots selling you everything. Everyone's going to need, then braces. Everyone's going to need braces. Everyone's going to need corrective this and corrective that. Leave the kids alone. Let them be kids. We'll take ourselves a break. Ah, it's Monday. It's Music Monday. Oh. Now, Super Tuesday's when? Tomorrow?
Yep.
So in lieu of that, we thought we'd take a turn for the political. It is songs that are would least work and best work for the different candidates, Hillary and Barack and so forth. I'll explain more. Music Monday next.
Right now on the Adam Carolla Show, it's Music Monday. Adam, Teresa, and Paul Bryan will be playing the best and the worst songs for each presidential candidate. Here we go. Music Monday on the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, good times, peeps. I gotta say, I'm a little hungover this morning.
What's a little? How many boozes?
Well, I started drinking at the airport before we left Vancouver yesterday, and then I had a couple pops on the plane, but I sobered up a little bit for the cab ride to Kimmel's, and then once I got to Kimmel's, it was on. I just started boozing, and I kind of lost track, but I got to tell you, by the time I got home about 7:30, 8 o'clock that night, I realized, wow, I'm drunk. I was so drunk that I almost didn't drink red wine before I went to bed.
Well, that's, I mean.
Right, because I drank.
Almost.
I had 9 glasses of red wine at Kimmel. I was like, hey, man. And then I thought, nope, tradition.
You got to have at least 1 glass of red wine before bed.
Yeah.
It's your
drinking,
medicine.
You weren't drinking beer at the Super Bowl party?
I was drinking beer, red wine, and champagne.
All in the same cup.
That's right. Ow. Suicide.
How about some of Kimmel's homemade pizza? Was he working his pizza maker?
He was working my meatballs is what he was doing. Ooh. He made meatball sandwiches and he had some other sandwiches, but the he had to bring in a porta potty because
you know you've made it.
He had too many guests?
No. Something went wrong with like the main sewer line or the main water feed and the street was all closed and at the last second he had no water at his house.
Rich man, poor man.
Thank God I used a sink.
Okay, we're gonna get to this later because we got to do our Music Monday.
Right.
But I'm dying to know what he really thought about Sarah Silverman's song with Matt Damon, which was completely brilliant, and all the water cooler talk over the weekend.
Yeah, I know.
It?
No, it's what happened was is Jimmy's show, that show aired, I think Thursday night.
Yeah.
I TiVo his show, and I usually watch it the following day, but the following day I left straight from the studio to go to Vancouver, and then by the time I got back, I went straight to Jimmy. So I have not been in front of my television set until tonight. So I'll watch it tonight. I did see Sarah there. Kathy Griffin was there.
Ooh.
Many luminaries were at Kimmel's yesterday.
Potty.
I guess, like I said, I'm a sink man. That's the way I roll. Now, albeit I probably should have used the bathroom sink instead of the kitchen because there was a lot of crowd there,
yeah.
Large crowd, many kids. But what are you going to do? All right, we will move forward. It is Monday. It is Music Monday. This is good and bad songs for each candidate. You know, they have their songs.
Campaign song.
Yeah, I think Bill Clinton had Don't Stop Thinking About Tomorrow.
Don't Stop.
Right. Fleetwood Mac, a very annoying song.
Some Celine Dion song that you rarely hear her play.
Well, here's a good one for Barack. On the nose, but effective.
Back in Black?
Yeah. If he had the balls to play this, he'd definitely get my vote.
That would be pretty cool.
Good riff. And it'd be nice to see AC/DC up at the inaugural ball.
That would be sweet.
By the way, the guy dresses like a schoolboy from England.
Yeah, he's got the long
lead
shorts.
Lead guitar player?
Yeah.
Angus Young.
Once you hit 60.
Stop with the chants.
It's the same thing I look at with guys called, Jimmy, but guys called Jimmy. You know what I mean? Or Stevie or something like that. Look, once you hit 70, I don't want any more Jimmys or Stevies or Johnnies or any of that. We'll just call you Robert, not Bobby. That's what I'm saying. No Bobbies at 75. This would work.
Yeah.
All right, that's a good one. I got a bad one for Barack Obama. A little something from 1973. Went to number one. Let me tell you kids something. In the 70s, rock bands sung about being an American Indian or the American Indian experience and rambling and gypsy women. We were very concerned with American Indians, gypsies, and rambling.
Especially Cher.
Yeah. Well, she's won 126 Comanche, and that's what gives her tenacity.
Yeah.
I like that part, too. It's like, that's where I get my... have you driven by the reservation lately? Lots of guys with huge heads boozing it up on broken down porches. I don't know where you get that gives you your what?
Tenacity.
You're like, hey man, nothing's going to stop me from getting loaded by noon. It's the way I roll. That's right. And then you have to go up there dressed in a headdress and wearing like suede pants with tassels on them and everything. What the hell?
I consider myself very knowledgeable about music. I have never heard of this song.
You never heard Half Breed?
For my time. But no, I've never heard this song.
You've never heard this song?
And thanks for calling me old.
Well, first off, just on karaoke night alone, you should know this song. Because it is one of those horrible 40-something-year-old chick gets up, gets loaded, and does this, baby. All right, listen. Come on, Brian. Half
Breed. The tom-tom beats.
Oh, they ripped off the Mazzola theme. Mazzola, corn goodness. Let me tell you something, Bald Brian. Wow. I will strip you of your rank and toss your ass out of the gay army if you don't bone up on your Cher, ironically.
Do you know gypsies, tramps, and thieves?
You're giving me a lot to think about.
Cher sings about gypsies and Indians. Come on, and rambling.
Yeah.
Nothing. All right.
Never heard that song.
I didn't know that was possible.
Number one hit.
Number one.
All right.
Well, I guess it doesn't get a lot of love outside of the year it was a hit. You know, some things, there's some, you know, Beatles songs that endure, and then there's songs that were number one and never played the following year. All right, that is bad. Here's another bad one. This is for Hillary.
Oh, this song I know.
That's right.
What you gonna do with all that junk? All that junk inside your trunk.
You're saying Hillary's bottom heavy?
Get you drunk. Get you love drunk off my hump.
I just don't want to think about her lady humps.
My lovely little lump. Check it out. I drive these buses crazy.
It's not a feminist anthem in any way.
No, but the boys love the humps, right?
Yeah, the lady lumps.
Fendi and Madonna. Karen, they be sharing all their money. Got me wearing fly. Burba, I ain't asking. They say they love
the Black Eyed Peas played the Democratic National Convention last time.
They did.
Oh, yes.
I wonder if they did this one. Now, I know this is Fergie alone, right?
Yeah. No, it's the whole group.
It's Black Eyed Peas.
There should be class action lawsuits against songs like this from the citizens of this country because it inspires stupid people to hump. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like dumb 19-year-olds aren't horny enough. We have to write a song that basically says, hey, baby, come get some.
So Fergie's liable for all the crimes committed by those children spawned by people humping to this song?
Well, who's committing the crimes in this country? Unwanted kids.
Fergie fans.
That's right. All right. Wait a minute. Somebody's got a good one. We see Billy on line two. Yeah, hang on, Billy, because I'm going to be doing some singing with your song in a second. All right, let's go to my last one in the bad department. This is a bad one for McCain.
Oh, man, look at my life. I'm a lot like you were. Oh, man, look at my
life. I never got into Neil Young.
Me either.
I like Cinnamon Girl.
He's one of the people I pretend to like because I know he's good. I don't really like his voice.
Yeah, and this is a good song, and he's an interesting guy. He's a good
writer.
Yeah, but I was always bumped by his voice, too.
Old man, look at my life. 24 and there's so much more. Live alone in a paradise.
I don't know if this song was number 31 in 1972.
Love lost such a cause.
I don't know if this song could be a hit today. It's a good song, but maybe we don't have the patience for it.
It's a bit slow.
It's like a movie from the 70s. It's good, but it's 3 hours long. I kind of turned the corner. I like this song.
Yeah, it's well written, but obviously McCain doesn't want to be reminded how old he is.
Thank you. All right, Billy on line two. Billy?
Hello?
What's happening, Billy?
Oh, not much. I love your show, guys. Teresa, you're sexy. Very sexy. I just had to say that.
Mm-hmm. Now, you have a suggestion for a song that I love that I'd like to sing along with, but we have to go get it.
Here's why.
Okay.
We haven't talked about it on the show, and I'll only mention it briefly. I forget whether it was the break or whatever, but someone went into my files and deleted a whole bunch of them. And we never found out who, we never found out why, but that song was deleted and is gone.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
So we'll not be singing it today.
Well, maybe.
Along with many, 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 many drops from last year.
Wow. How are you handling this, Brian?
It was devastating, but luckily I had the best ones backed up, and now they're secure.
Yeah, and the same way he handles everything. Feverishly masturbates.
Goddamn feverishly.
Hey, Billy, yeah, because I don't know who the hell came in here and decided it would be a great idea to clear out all of the songs and all of the files, but...
It was only my folder, and it was only certain things from last year.
Did
only
the things
from
have anything
07.
In common?
They were all from 07. All the 07 stuff was gone.
And it's also one of these things where, what's in it for the person who cleared it off? How did they do it, and why? All right. Billy, I'll tell you what. We will try to find that song you speak of. I don't know if we can find it on YouTube or
we'll
something like that, but we'll try to get it, and I will sing along with it. We have Teresa's. We have Bald Brian's. It's Music Monday. We'll be back.
Rachel candidates on the Adam Carolla Show.
Yeah. Get it on.
How's the hangover?
Not good. It's doing great. It's awesome. Look, I'm hungover, so I'm basically phoning it in this morning. Let's be honest. I'm not going to be my best every morning.
They can't all be gems.
No. You need some fives and sixes so you know what the eights and nines look like. All right, it's Music Monday. We're doing campaign songs. We're doing good and bad for all the candidates. T?
Yep.
What do you got for who?
I've got a good song for Barack Obama. I feel like it's on point, it's on his message, but it won't scare white people.
Ugh. People don't realize how bad the cars were. Let's all listen to the lyrics to this gem. Don't what? Don't worry about your feet.
Two left feet.
The Cars don't get credit for being a fairly crappy band. They had a lot of good songs and they wrote really catchy hooks. But listen to the lyrics.
I don't know about you. I just want to shake it up right now.
Well, just listen. Don't let nobody pick your bone.
Shake it up. Important message.
Well, here comes the great part of this song. Shake it up. Horrible. Horrible band. Some weird, good songs, but horrible songs. Rick Ocasek doesn't get enough crap for writing crappy songs.
I wonder if they are contemptuous of their audience, because the songs are very catchy and like they know they're going to be very popular, but not a lot to them.
Oh, I disagree. Listen to this next verse here. Horrible song. All right, enough of that. That's Barack?
That's for Barack.
What do you got, Bald Brian?
Well, if you're Mike Huckabee and you're fading a little bit and you're not quite where you were when you won the first, primary or Iowa caucus, whatever it was, he came out of the gates early, fading a little bit. He picked up a celebrity endorsement. Perhaps he should use this person's song to go for broke.
Ted Nugent.
Oh.
Is this a damn Yankees thing?
Yeah. A good song to rally your constituents.
Mm-hmm.
So he has Ted Nugent and Chuck Norris?
That's right. You need a ballad to galvanize.
I have to admit I like this song.
Ted Nugent in the video deflecting bullets with his guitar.
I miss those videos where the guys were all full of themselves and the fans were blowing their hair and they're up there on like Rock Mountain shooting lightning bolts out of the end of their triangle, their flying V guitar and
the
all that.
The power of Nuge's guitar playing destroyed the door to the shack he was hiding out in.
Yeah, man, in the 80s, guys would use their guitar for good, like lasers. Boom. There's a lot of guitar gun stuff in the 80s, too, like just firing a riff. You could blow somebody up with your amp rack, you know? You could blow up uptight people, and you could blow up bad people.
You're saying Huckabee could be a weapon of change.
That's right.
Right. All right. Good call, Bald Brian. Let's go to my good for McCain. This was number one.
Fighting soldiers from the sky.
In 1998.
Fearless men.
Oh, no, wait a minute. 1966.
Men who mean.
Sergeant Barry
just
Sadler.
What they say. The brave men.
Later killed in a concert in a friendly fire incident. Oh,
with a guitar?
With a guitar. With Nugent.
Ted Nugent shot him with his guitar.
On their chest.
Friendly fire, though.
When he does concerts, I wonder if he does this one.
America's best. 100 men.
And I'll bet you this is one of those guys, if you ever saw him in concert, every single song would sound like this, even if he was singing about barbecue or a woman is like, my woman Sue, she left me flat. She's a woman. I bet every single song sounds exactly like this.
It's always good to see an artist that's known for one song more than others. I saw the Charlie Daniels band at Tulsa when they went, did he play the devil went down to Georgia? I was like, no, he didn't play that song. All the other hits except for that one.
All right. Well, a good one for McCain. Now we'll get into the bad. T, do you got some bad or are we going good again?
I got a bad one for Mitt Romney. Just based on the looks of him, he could kind of freak you out. I
can't sleep. Psycho killer. Talking heads. Don't touch me, I'm a real live
wire. Psycho killer. Also, it includes French, which people seem to feel is very un-American.
Yeah. I love this song. I don't even know why I love this song. I just love this song. I was just making fun of the Cars for their crappy lyrics and listen to Talking Heads.
Not even I don't know singing. What it's about.
I don't know what he's talking about either, but it's crossed. It's so off the beaten path. I enjoy it.
Of all the candidates, though, Mitt Romney looks like the most likely to have hookers in his crawl space.
Mm-hmm.
Like a grown-up Patrick Bateman from Psycho.
Yeah, you know it's a great Talking Heads song that never, ever gets played? Pulled Up.
Yeah, I know it. It's good. I love Once in a Lifetime.
Yeah, it's a good song, too. All right, I got to go find that Pulled Up. Bald Brian, what do you got? You got a good one or a bad one?
Good one. This is, bad one. This is for John McCain. Adam, you'll appreciate this.
Crash?
Yeah. You know, it's a nice song and maybe chill everybody out, but then start thinking about, wait a minute. How many millions of dollars? Millions of 1970s dollars.
Well, again, we could figure it out. He crashed, I think, in like Sarasota, Florida, flying a trainer. It was a military plane, but it was a prop plane. He crashed that plane over the ocean. Then he was shot down in an A-4 over Vietnam. That's a multi-million dollar aircraft.
But on the deck, right, on the aircraft carrier.
The forestall. Let's just put it this way.
Like a cartoon.
Here's what they were doing with those planes. They were taking bulldozers and driving them off the deck of the carrier into the Gulf of Tonkin, because the whole place was on fire. Yeah. Anyone who ever wants a really crazy story, look up that forestall story, the aircraft carrier McCain was on. By the way, after all of that went down, he then got shot down over Vietnam.
Yeah.
How freaky would it be approaching an airplane that was fully engulfed in flames with jet fuel burning, knowing there were 2,000-pound bombs on the plane that you're running to with the hose? You want to talk about brave? And when those blew up, everything else caught on fire, and then everything went. The boat never sank, though. It just caught on fire, and hundreds of guys died fighting the fire.
Yep, not a song then for you.
All right, yeah, crash, not a good one. Let's go to, let me see. Let's skip down and go to my Hillary Clinton song. This is one from Donovan. Also, must be the season of the week. This is such a 60s song. This is the worst song out of the 60s.
Well, there was a lot of songs about witches, and that went into the 70s. Witchy woman.
Witches, gypsies.
Tramps.
Indians, and rambling. And Life on the Road, which was sort of a cousin to Rambling.
It's like Rambling, yeah.
Yeah, except for this was the entire band goes on the road. After the man with the suit says, sign here.
So when you ramble alone.
Rambling is sort of like masturbation, you know? It's one of those things where if there's four people, it's an orgy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's a road trip. Yeah. You get five guys together to ramble, you got a road trip. Yeah. One guy. The whole thing about rambling is you're a lone wolf. You know, you wish it wasn't that way, but you got the rambling in your blood, and you have to ramble. Right. So in the 70s, what I would do is I would ramble over to a gypsy's house.
After you signed up with MCA.
I'd head over. Yeah, the man told me to sign on the dotted line. I sold my soul to the man with the cigar wearing the three-piece suit.
Yeah.
And then I would ramble to New Orleans, where I'd meet some Cajun queens and some gypsies. Mm-hmm. And then I'd go nail a witch. And then I'd go nail some American Indian chick. And then I'd ramble back home again.
Rambling a lot like getting it on. You had to do it.
You got to get it on.
You got to get it on.
No choice. All right, T, do you got a number one?
Yeah, this would be a bad one for Hillary Clinton. She's really trying to counter the perception that she's both cold and manly, so this wouldn't help.
Oh, Mr. Roboto.
It is kind of an upbeat song, but still terrible for Hillary.
Yeah. Unfortunately, we're going to have to listen to it two times all the way through.
All the way.
I'm sorry. Tell you, back when we used to do the man show,
you're wondering who I am.
Once a season, Cousin Sal and another writer named Matt would cover themselves in tinfoil and jump up on the desk and do the Mr. Roboto song for everybody. It was a tradition.
Only once?
It felt like once, but maybe it was more. You're right.
I would enjoy that at least once a year.
State of the Union.
I wonder what this song got to. What did this song get to? I mean, it was definitely top 10, right?
It had to have been a top 10 hit.
What was this, like 86? What
do you
think this was? Earlier?
Much earlier than that.
83? Oh, you're right. You're right. Maybe
it was 1980.
83.
Wow. Sorry, buddy.
There you go, Baldy.
83.
It was on their 83 concept album. Kilroy was here.
No kidding.
All right, Bald Brian, do you have your number one?
I do. Where did it go? Hold on a second. Do I have it? Yeah, there it is. All right. Barack Obama, I don't think he needs to scare Whitey any more than he already is.
Straight out of Compton, crazy mother named Ice Cube. From the gang called with attitudes. When I'm called off, I got a sword off.
He'd get my vote.
Social change, you know, all that stuff, social upheaval, but I don't know about this song.
Well, I have a bad Barack as well. This is a totally different angle, but just as bad. A great song, but I don't think anything you'd want to be associated with the President of the United States.
Oh, no.
I'm going to see him with like a tattered sweater, smoking a cigar butt. What a great song.
It is good.
Quincy Jones. You know, there's bad gigs if you're a session musician, and then they're great gigs. You know, once in a while you just have to sit in and play the oboe on some animated short that you didn't want to work on, but this would be a great studio gig, right?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, there you go. Good and bad with the campaign. Let's see. Billy?
Yeah.
Your suggestion for a bad or good Hillary song was what?
The Taboo 2's Gotta Get It On.
Mm-hmm. Gotta Get It On. Theme from Taboo 2. Yeah. Well, again, Bald Brian had it on his computer.
Yeah.
And all our files got deleted. And by the way,
not all.
It looks like an act of sabotage. Because
not all were deleted.
Not all were deleted. And I don't know anything about computers, but people that do say somebody came in here and deleted all of 07 or most of 07 in a surgical strike. Well, I don't blame Bonaducci because he doesn't know how to work a computer. Now, if your cigarettes are missing or your creatine's gone, then you blame Bonaducci.
Where is my axe?
Right. If you're missing some acts, you blame Bonaducci, but this is not it. But it'd be nice for us to go down the hall and talk to our tech guy, but that's the guy who sabotaged the show 2 years ago. So I don't trust anything he says. So it's an interesting position we're in over here. But it's awesome working for a radio station where all sorts of things disappear and
no
message boards get
offered.
Shut down and there's nothing is ever offered in the way of explanation. Thank you. But the good news is, I do have my pulled up song.
Oh, you do.
This is my favorite Talking Heads song. I don't know why I love this song.
You're right. You don't hear this one very often. It's all burning down the house.
You'll never hear this song.
I'm a big man in a great big town. Here's a fool who would believe it's true.
Ah, turn it up. I want to hear this. So 80s. And I like the end when he starts going nuts. And then it changes gears here.
I slipped and I got pulled up. I tripped and then you pulled me up.
right, just another 30 seconds. Turn it up, Paul.
You only made us listen to Mr. Roboto once.
Well, it's a good talking head song that no one's ever heard. Can't help but be in a good mood when this song hits, all right?
I like it.
All right. Do we want to talk to people? Do we have some of these songs?
I got, he dropped off. Damn it.
You know the one. All right, well, turn pulled up then and when you find these other songs.
I was complaining, I was down in the dumps. I felt the funny, but you pulled me up, pulled me up.
Did you ever see Stop Making Sense, their concert movie?
Yeah, it was a great movie. I think I saw it at the Wiltern, and I think I was on a date.
With who?
I don't know. Some dude.
He was into the Talking Heads. What were you going to do?
Look, he was ironically into the Talking Heads. Yeah, pulled a little Senior Wences on his ass in the bathroom.
Well,
it was awesome.
That stopped making sense.
He wore the giant shoulder pads. It was awesome.
We got line 7 and line 4 if you want to.
All right, well, turn this up. Reminds me of my date in 1986. Yeah, this song's too eclectic or funky for radio or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, we get to hear the same three Talking Head songs over and over again, but we'll never hear this song. Except for now. All right, turn it up. We got a big crescendo coming here.
In a little while you pulled me up.
Oh, still going. All right. I'll talk to Mark while we're hearing this, but we got to crank it up for the end. Hey, Mark.
Hey, Adam. You're the best, man.
You got Elton John Bitches Back?
That's a work one for Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
Second term.
And a good Elton John song,
second
too.
Second term. He's thinking ahead.
All right, up now.
You're not going to sing?
There's no words. He just goes, yeah. Wow, this song's still going. Fred. Yeah, mash it up. Sonny Natalia sing the Talking Head hits.
I didn't think I could like the song more.
Big crescendo.
Well done, Brian.
Hey, it's all Italia.
They could start a band like Pebbles and Bam Bam did. All right, where the hell were we? We need to take a break. Oh, bald Brian, you're too good. Well, there you go. Pulled up. The Talking Heads. Lots of nice suggestions. We got the Who, Rick James. We got Jefferson's theme, moving on up for Obama. That's a strong one. We'll take a quick break. What are we doing next? Week in Rage? Ah, yes, Week in Rage. We didn't get to it on Friday, but we're going to get to it today. Let's see, old guys at the diner who never put on any weight. That made me mad. Kaiser Permanente, putting the word Permanente at the end of your hospital. Magazines about running or walking. Any of these magazines, like No Duh magazines.
Right.
I understand magazines about planes and cars and even celebrities, but a walking magazine?
Breathing Quarterly.
That's
big
right.
Feature on putting one foot in front of the other.
Guys who do their sunbathing on the lawn of their apartment. You ever seen this queer bait on there with the banana hammock on the Sunday? And the last, people that are against the morning after pill. Ooh, be prepared. I'm going to stand up. Week in Rage next.
Down the top five things that pissed Adam off last week.
Who's laughing?
Last Week in Rage on the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, I'm hungover, but I'm going to rally. I am going to circle the wagons and see if I can whip myself up into a frenzy, oftentimes overcompensating for the way I feel. You know how you're nicer to people you don't like at work?
Yeah. Well, wait a second.
Well, you know that thing.
You're always so nice to me.
Mm-hmm.
I never thought it was... Let's move on.
If a guy you like at work invites you to a party and you can't make it, but you like the guy...
I so wish I could make it. Thank you.
That's who you'll be. But if it's a guy you don't like, you will spend 10 minutes explaining why you can't go to the party and how cool it must be.
My mom's coming in. I have to pick her up at the airport. Her flight comes in at 8. There's no way I could make it.
Swing by on your way into the airport. We're starting early.
I so wish I could, except I have some health problems right now.
Oh, really?
And I can't be away from home for a long time. It's a long story. I'm on dialysis. It's a long story. I can't get into it. But I can't tell you how much I wish I could. I'd do anything to be there.
Swing by. My wife's on dialysis. You can hook yourself up to her machine.
The funny thing is, I'm in a very specialized type of dialysis, and I have to be in my own home dialysis machine.
The hospital's at a hospital. It's a party at a hospital.
Oh.
It's Kaiser Permanente.
You know what's funny? I am not on that plan, HMO.
You know,
I have to pay...
T, you're almost getting the point, but you're missing it a little bit in that it's not only the excuses you give, it's how awesome you think the party must be that you're
sure.
not getting. Sounds awesome. I wish I could be there. You're an awesome guy. You throw an awesome party. So you overcompensate.
Right.
That's what I'm going to do here with Week in Rage. I feel like hell, and now I'm up on my feet. I'm going to overcompensate for feeling like hell. We ready to cue it up?
This Week in Rage.
I'm angry.
What a dick.
I pay taxes, bitch.
What? Number 5.
This is the old guy at the diner who sits at the counter and eats whatever he wants with impunity because he thinks it's hearty food, because a hot meal is hearty. And he finishes every single meal with a slab of pie, something I wish I had the huevos to do. Now, I have to count the calories. We all have to count the calories. We all have to make our choices. Sure, you can have one hot meal a night, you can have yourself a pot roast for dinner, but for lunch and breakfast, you eat nothing. You eat some crappy mush that's sweetened with a snot rocket. Meanwhile, this guy's eating bacon, eggs, a piece of pie, hash browns, French toast. He's washing it all down with black coffee, and he's perpetually 142 pounds. He's in his 60s. He's one of these guys that buys these slacks. They're a little too big, but they're more dungarees than there are slacks, and then he pulls the belt in real tight just to let you know how thin he is. He's also one of these guys that wears the shirt that's not supposed to be tucked in, just to let you know how skinny he is. Like, you know the guy who wears the flannel shirt with the undershirt and the whole thing is tucked in and pulled tight. He looks like a scarecrow. And yet, there he is, finishing every goddamn meal with a piece of warm apple pie, maybe a la mode, just sitting there. And by the way, he doesn't know he's eating like crap. He doesn't know the hollandaise sauce and all the butter and all the toast and all the saturated fat is bad for him. He just ate a hearty meal that sticks to his ribs. I hate you! By the way, this guy drinks 2 pots of coffee and smokes 3 packs a day and is going to outlive all of us. You smoke 3 packs of cigarettes a day, drink 2 pots of coffee, sit at the counter and order he's going to sit there and order the blue plate special and eat his meat, and he's going to dance a jig on our grave while he's smoking and drinking coffee and eating bacon. Who's the old guy? No, wait a minute, I'm not done. That's what they'll say at my funeral. Who's the old guy wearing the hunting hat, smoking the non-filtered Camels, drinking a pot of coffee and eating Bako Bits right out of the jar, just chugging them, drinking Bako Bits and dancing on Corolla's grave? That's the guy from the diner. What? He's shotgunning syrup with Bako Bits? Hot meal.
Number
all right.
4.
Oh, Kaiser Permanente. I would like to be on the board of many businesses, but especially Kaiser Permanente, because Kaiser was always my hospital growing up, and it was always Kaiser. You're going to Kaiser. We're going to Kaiser. Now, Kaiser built ships. Do people know the story about Kaiser? Kaiser built those freedom ships. He built troop transports in World War II, and he built them faster and better than anyone. And he had amassed such an army of workers to build these huge troop transports that eventually they needed health care. So Kaiser got into health care for these people, and now Kaiser, the former shipbuilder, is now a hospital builder. But you want to go to Davy Jones' locker? Put Permanente on the end of the title of your Kaiser. And look, I haven't looked up Permanente, and I don't know if there's some Greek god of healing named Permanentes or something like that, but to the guy who's driving past it on the freeway, who feels a little palpitation in his aorta, when I see Permanente, I want to keep going. Permanente in front of a funeral home, great idea. Permanente in front of a hospital or daycare, bad idea. Kaiser Paprika, that's what I could go with, or something that sounded like good. How about, you know, Expediente, or Healamente, or rub some salve on a Solamonto, but not Permanente by your hospital. Sure, patients check in, but they don't check out.
Number three.
Just traveling over the weekend, go by the newsstand at the airport. 700,000 magazines. There's five magazines on running and four on walking. And again, look, ironically, I walked over to the magazine rack, so I think I got this covered. When you see me carried like I'm in a Madonna video over to the magazine rack to buy the magazine on walking, and as a matter of fact, if I worked in a store, I wouldn't sell the walking magazine to anyone who wasn't confined to a wheelchair. My feeling is if you picked up this magazine and walked it over to the counter, ironically, you know everything you need to know about walking. I don't want to, and by the way, don't make things up like Walker's Lament and, you know, Bunyan's Friend or Foe, Fallen Arches. I mean, Jesus Christ, and who do you do an interview with when you have walking magazines? Hey, a special day, Forrest Gump is back again. He's going to talk about walking. All I'm saying is look, if you're into cats, maybe you get a magazine. If you're into boats, all right. Magazines, here's what magazines are for. You're supposed to look at things that you can't have. You're supposed to get car magazines and look at cars you can't own, and you're supposed to get porn magazines and look at women you could never have sex with, or if you're like the Ace Man, you open them both. And I'm not going to tell you which one's on the left, but it starts with car and ends with driver. The point is walking magazines. Now, I've never flipped one open. I suspect there's nothing in there. I suspect they don't actually sell any of these things. But if you feel compelled to buy a walking magazine, how about your next walk to the grave? And you just step right into the hole, and that's where we bury you.
Number two.
Ah, the guy who sunbathes on the lawn of his apartment. Now, look, here's my feeling about a lawn. You got to earn it. You don't get to rent it. You got to earn your lawn. You have to get a certain station in life where you can afford a little plot of land that has a fence around it, where you can do your business without prying eyes. Now, the problem with the guys who use the lawn is in the apartment building, the lawn is in the front, not in the back. And so the last time I was driving through Burbank, I saw a guy wearing a Speedo on. And by the way, once you fold out the lawn chair, there's ironically no more lawn. The lawn is 3 foot wide and it's 6 foot long, and it just sits there like a putting green on a miniature golf course with some little retarded kid trying to bang the stick into a windmill. And there you are. You got your iPod in. You're all lathered up and the whole world can see you're gay. And by the way, there's not a straight man on the planet that indulges in this. You know why? Because straight guys go to the beach. You know why? Because there are chicks at the beach in bikinis. And look, if a hot chick in a bikini decided it'd be a good idea to get a little sun on the lawn of her crappy apartment building right in the middle of Burbank, I would be very happy about this. As a matter of fact, I would circle the block a few times, but I got to see your gay ass passing the PABA and God knows what kind of disease. And there are kids. There are kids, and they're walking, and they're on paper routes, and they're driving by in minivans. I don't want to see your alternative lifestyle on display. You want to lay out on something? How about you get yourself a tanning machine and you do it in the privacy of your own hospice? All right.
Number one.
What the hell is number one? I lost my piece of paper.
People were against the morning after pill.
You people. It's an abortion pill. Let's get it pulled off the shelves so people can't. Look, We have a problem. It's called unwanted kids. Hey, everybody, let's look at some of these other nations. You turn on the news every 10 minutes, you see Darfur, you see what's going on in the Congo, you see people burning each other and killing each other. Who's doing all this? The educated kids, the wanted kids, the planned kids? No! People are crapping out 8 in 10 kids, and these are folks that can't take care of themselves, much less other kids. Now, I worry about it nationally, but internationally as well. It's one big global planet, by the way. There's no more borders. The internet has opened everything up. Air travel's opened everything up. Everything has opened up. Our neighbors are everybody. It's no longer just Canada and Mexico. And speaking of Mexico, don't get me started, because I should take a C-130 and drop off the morning after pill into that dump. So half those unwanted kids don't come over here and have more unwanted kids. But look, every problem on the planet could be distilled down to this. All the violence, all the criminals, all the unemployment, all the abuse. Think about the abuse that takes place at the hands of these people. And how can we cure it? Morning after pill. Educate and get it out there. But no, a handful of Bible thumpers say it's an abortion. Really, you guys don't like people having sex out of wedlock, or you don't like people having sex and using protection, or not. You look at it as an easy excuse. Thus, you're punishing me, but you're punishing yourself, because it's your kid that's going to get stabbed by one of these unwanted kids, and I'll see you in hell. Thank you.
Until next time.
Hold on a second.
This week.
Oh, what an ass.
In rage.
Well, that was long.
How do you feel?
I feel like I've purged. Yeah. I also feel like I might throw up.
Hair of the dog.
That's another kind of purging.
Yeah, I need a shot.
Yeah, a little hair of the dog.
Yeah.
Well, luckily, Angie always keeps some by her desk.
Yeah. Angie, she has a laptop flask. Actually, it's not even a laptop.
Think that's a laptop?
That's my point. She wants to drink on the plane.
Seriously, you are an alcoholic.
All right. Hey, good news, everyone. Kat Von D from L.A. Inc. Beautiful Kat Von D. I think I saw her in Kimmel last week or the week before. She's coming in from L.A. Inc. We'll talk tats with Kat next.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show from LA Inc.
I don't know. I just got into, like, cutting myself up, you know? Uh-huh. And plus, like, there's so many dangers in your jobs.
The tattoos are okay. With Kat Von D on the Adam Carolla Show.
Good to see you, Kat.
Hi.
I don't believe we've met before.
I don't think so.
LA Inc., name of the show, second season, TLC. The whole Inc. started with Miami, I do believe. It's turned into a bit of a phenomenon. And if you would have asked me 4 or 5 years ago if TV shows about tattoo parlors would be this popular, I probably would have said no.
Well,
are you surprised?
Dance.
Yeah. I guess. Yeah, I never thought it would be a TV show when I started tattooing when I was like 14. I didn't even know it could be a job, you know?
Well, tell us your story. How did you begin?
I started tattooing when I was a kid and just hanging out with a lot of punk rock kids, you know? Mm-hmm. And then
but you grew up in Mexico, right?
Well, my parents are from Argentina, and then they were missionaries for the church, so then they were in...
Oh, boy.
What church?
The Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
how pissed is Dad?
Oh, they were bombed. I mean, it took a decade and a TV show for them to actually come into my tattoo shop, but hey.
Yeah. Now, do you feel that you rebelled against your parents?
No, I don't think so. I think... I mean, here's what I guess I'm asking
Kat Von D. If your parents were hippies, played a lot of music and smoked a lot of weed and got tats themselves, do you feel like at 14 you would have headed that same direction, or might you have rebelled against that? Do you know what I'm saying?
Well, you know, I don't know. Like, my brother and sister, they're not all crazy as tattooed as I am. I mean, they do have some tattoos, but, like, it wasn't so much about rebellion. I mean, I think I'm artistic. I've always been drawing as a kid, and I love music. We were, like, brought up on music, and so I think music and tattooing go hand in hand, and it was just something that I was drawn to. I think, like most tattooers that are really good, they're born to do it. It's not something you just go to school for.
No, I got the music and tat thing. Like, you picture Kenny G. That guy's sleeved, man. And then you go back to guys like Guy Lombardo and stuff. All those guys look like they're in prison.
Kat, what was your first tattoo?
I got an Old English J on my ankles for the dude I was dating at the time. Mm-hmm. My first love, actually. And we broke up 3 years later.
Do you still have the old English, Jay?
Of course. I love it.
So that's your first tattoo. Now, you were tattooing others at age 14. Do you make a crude kit? Do you buy a kit? How do you get the kit? And who sells a kit to a 14-year-old?
No, they don't. They don't. It was completely illegal. But, I mean, and it's not something I promote either. You know, I think that, like, in my case, it was a little bit of an, like, exception. But, I don't know. I had a friend who was tattooing all of us out of his house, and then he asked me to do a tattoo on him, and I was like, all right. I didn't even know what it was, and I've been drawing forever, so I just did a tattoo, and I loved it, and I had plenty of underage friends that wanted to get tattooed, so, you know.
That's and you're using his equipment at this point.
Yeah, at that point, yeah. But hey, then, you know, most people go through, like, a traditional apprenticeship.
Right.
And by the time I was 16, I got into my first tattoo shop, and that's where I had to unlearn everything, pretty much.
Hold that thought for 1 second, Kat Von D from L.A. Ink, because Jeffrey Tambor, a guy who's inked up pretty good, I'm guessing, is on the phone. Jeffrey?
Hi, good morning. What's the subject?
We're talking about tattoos.
Oh, great, because I have my agency number that represents me tattooed all over my body.
Really? Smart.
Right. Is that a good idea?
Yeah.
Good.
Hey, Jeffrey, you don't have any tattoos, do you?
No, I am of the Jewish faith. We have to go out the same way we came in. Sorry.
Except for the foreskin.
There's that.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, really?
That wasn't told to me.
I had a foreskin tattooed on me, by the way.
Oh, really? I have one on my head. It's just a thing.
Well, let me ask you about that as far as the Jewish tradition about going in the way or leaving the way you came in. How does that work with the foreskin part? Is that a rule?
It had to do with
hygiene.
With Abraham. So hygiene first, and I know nothing about what we're talking, but I would imagine that it had to do with cleanliness and hygiene, and then the other thing is you don't deface the body. I wouldn't call that a defacement. I think that would be a hygienic act.
Yeah, I can dig it.
Yeah.
Jeffrey, by the way, is going to be in a new TV show called Welcome to the Captain that is premieres tonight on CBS Monday night, 8:30. How did you guys work around this whole writer strike thing?
Well, it's a good question. We actually we got 5 pitch-perfect scripts in just before they rightfully went on strike, and they worked tirelessly right up to the 11th hour. And and we also, they did a beautiful job, but it was uncomfortable to say the least. I do not like crossing any lines. My father was a union man, and I'm a union man, and I'm not a fan of, especially, right, I mean, I remember one day crossing the lines and seeing, you know, a couple of our executive producers, and, you know, I would get out, and I talked to them one day, and I hope it ends.
What? Oh, I hear the strike, and I don't know what you hear. I hear it might be ending very shortly.
That's what I hear. That's the rumor. That's the rumor about, and it's good. I hope the writers get exactly what they want. You know, people think that these writers, or all of us, indeed, all of us, you, me, all of us, sit by a pool and peel a grape. I haven't peeled a grape in 63 years.
No, I haven't either. I have my assistant do it.
Yeah?
Yeah. And then there's another guy who feeds them to me. As a matter of fact, I'm thinking about
another guy who digests them.
Wow. You want to talk about arriving.
Yep.
Jeffrey Tambor, what I'm thinking about doing is downsizing and consolidating this year. Why can't the guy who breaks in my shoes feed me the grapes? Why do I need 2 guys? Let that guy walk in place by the side of the pool while he feeds me the peeled grapes.
Absolutely. And you could actually have your pool man do it.
The good point, although his hands are filthy. Hey, Jeffrey.
Yes?
I don't want to let you go without talking a little Larry Sanders, one of the greatest shows of all time. Actually, you've been on a bunch of really cool shows.
Yeah, Arrested Development.
Arrested Development. And there's a rumor that we're going to do a movie.
I just read that on page six.
What I heard. Talk about the little show that could.
No kidding. That was literally, but I knew that was going to be a big hit. I was the guy on the set who just said, wait. And indeed, that came true.
He was talking to a vending machine.
Not to sound like Lou Gehrig, but
they hospitalized him. But yes. Hey, Jeffrey Tambor. Yeah, I was going to say Arrested Development and the Larry Sanders Show. Most people don't run into one of those in a career.
Right.
You basically almost did them back to back, which is really cool. Any talk of any Larry Sanders reunions or specials or anything
like
that?
You know, I think every once in a while Gary does say, you know, maybe something like that. I would love to do that. I was kidding with one of the people associated with the rest of the development. I said, I just hope it doesn't run into the Larry Sanders reunion. And but I said I was only kidding. And I'm very excited about Welcome to the Captain. You know, this guy is John Hamburg. Do you know him?
No. Is he on
Meet
strike?
Meet the Parents, Meet the Fockers, Along Came Polly. He has big, serious comic
potential. he created those or wrote those movies?
This guy is good, and he's half my age. And he's just one of those wunderkinds. And
47?
You know, it's nice when your geniuses are nice. He's a nice guy. I hope the best for him tonight.
So he's the guy who created Welcome to the Captain.
Yeah.
All right. So tonight, Welcome to the Captain... CBS,
right.
8:30, Jeffrey Tambor. Hey, Jeffrey, come in and talk to us in the flesh next time. Yeah, we're out in Los Angeles.
I'd love to. I was listening to you guys talking. You sound great.
Well, thank you, Jeffrey.
No, I would love to. For sure.
We'll do it again next time soon. Kat, sorry, baby doll. We'll take a break and then we'll get back and it'll be all Kat Von D all the time. LA Inc., everybody. Second season, TLC, 10 o'clock. We'll take a quick break. Be back with Kat next.
Right now, more with LA Inc.'s Kat Von D on the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, Kat, now where were we? LA Inc., by the way, second season, TLC, Tuesday nights, 10 p.m. Last we left off, you're in Mexico and you're 14.
No. I moved to America when I was 4 years old.
Oh.
Yeah.
The hell did I get that?
No, I started tattooing when I was 14.
Ah, you did it out here. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
And so you moved from Mexico. You moved out here. Where'd you move to out here?
I was living in the Inland Empire, you know, an hour east of L.A.
Yeah, good times.
Yeah, it was crazy.
That's a trucker's high on speed, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I know. And what did you say your dad was in the church?
Well, I mean, my parents were missionaries, but my dad's a doctor. He's like a seventh generation doctor.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, when you're a missionary, it's a lot different. It's not like, you know, you're totally loaded or anything. They're just doing things for good reasons, I guess.
Right. So he wasn't doing plastic surgery and
he was like delivering babies for nothing, I guess.
Oh, really?
I assume so.
Yeah, that's my feeling, except for I get to keep the baby. No, that's, is your mic on there, too?
It is now. If you deliver it, you keep it?
Yeah, it's like you break it, you bought it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
I mean, if it comes out and it's cute, you'll want it.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, I'm not saying I raise them all as my own. Some I toss on eBay, see if I get any nibbles. But either way,
Right of first refusal.
Yeah, that's how it works. You drop the kid, I'll keep the kid. And by the way, you just gave birth to a healthy kid. You're in good shape. You had a doctor's care, it's just you don't have a baby. That's all. So, Kat, you're talking about your parents and saying that now that you're successful, have they lightened up on you a little bit?
Yeah, I think, you know, like, with the show, I think, you know, it shows the dynamics between, like, artist and client. Like, you know, people come in, they get tattooed, and then they tell us their story behind each tattoo. And, you know, my parents, like many people, like, for a long time had, like, a bad view on tattooing, you know, with all the stigmas. Like, you're either, like, a drug addict or, like, a, you know, somebody in jail that gets tattooed or a biker. But
yeah.
It's not always the case, you know. And so, like, once my dad, like, watched the show, it was definitely, like, it opened up his mind a lot. He called. He's like, I had no idea that's what you do. That's so cool, you know.
It used to be for sailors.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I met this grungy dude when I was a kid. And I just associated tattoos with guys in the Navy, essentially. I don't know. It was like I was living in some kind of Popeye cartoon or something. And this guy was such a dirtbag. He was such a white trash guy. He had Roar 714 on his arm. And I said, what was that, the ship you're in the Navy? And he goes, no, it's for a Quaalude. And I was like, wow, awesome.
I think Eminem has the Vicodin tattooed on him. The actual pill.
Have you done any dumb tattoos? And would you do any dumb tattoos if I wanted a dumb tattoo?
Yeah, I've done tons of dumb ones.
Have
funny.
You said no? Like, remember when Britney Spears shaved her head and then she showed up at the tattoo parlor and she wanted dice or something tattooed on her? But she was clearly in an altered state.
Yeah.
Would you say no?
No, I mean, I think as like a tattooer, it's our responsibility to make sure that like when you get a tattoo, you're not going to like regret it when you wake up the next day, you know?
Right.
So, I mean, we've turned down a lot of stuff. Like, I usually, the only stuff I really turn down is like stuff that A, I don't think that I'm like the best artist for, and B, like stuff that goes against my morals. Like I don't do anything like racist or, you know, if you've been,
you know, people come in wanting swastikas and stuff.
Well, when I lived, you know, in the IE.
Inland Empire,
yeah,
sure.
It was like, I was, like, our shop was in the ghetto, it was in the really bad part of town in San Bernardino. It was, like, right next to the jail. So every time people would come out of jail, they'd always come in for crazy tattoos, and they'd get all rough with us, and it was pretty crazy.
I asked Kat off the air if I could get the LAPD on my eyelids.
Well, and she didn't want to?
No, she said no problemo. So next time I get pulled over, I close my right eye, and then I go, you see that? And then I close my left. So you will do most things within reason, but yeah, in a way, and I don't know what the, I don't even know what you call it, but if you're a plastic surgeon and I said I wanted a third boob added to the small of my back,
yeah, they would say no.
They'd probably say no. Mm-hmm. You have that same responsibility, yeah, as a tattoo artist.
Definitely.
How does it work? Do you charge by the hour?
No. You know, I just had this discussion with my sister. She's my assistant. And I was just like, I'm really fast, so it doesn't make sense for me to charge by the hour. Really.
Yeah, charge by the job.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it takes me like about an hour and a half to 2 hours to do a portrait, so it's usually what people want me to do.
Your boyfriend is Roy Orbison's son, right? And you did, I was watching Kat on Kimmel last week and had a great portrait of father and son, but I can't remember if it was on him or on you or where you put it.
No, actually, I think on tomorrow night's episode, it's gonna show the tattoo that I did on that you saw on Kimmel. It was my boyfriend Orby. He got a portrait of his dad and his brother kissing on the beach. It's a really cute.
Oh, that's not him. That's his brother.
Yeah, and he got it on his arm. So
I don't picture. I never picture Roy at the beach.
Yeah, he wasn't the beach type. Actually, it was so funny because Orby was telling me like in the picture, like, you know, the wind's blowing and Roy's hair is like kind of like in the wind, you know, and he was just like, yeah, my dad would never go out with his hair messy ever.
How did you meet Orby?
He wanted to get tattooed by me, and like a friend of mine like gave him my number, and so we started texting a long time ago, and then we met and went to like a Rat and a Poison show. That's like, all right. I'm like, hey babe, when's our anniversary? And he's like, I don't know, check the ticket stuff. I'm like, that's so rock.
Now Roy passed away. What's it been now? Has it been
19 years?
Been 19 years, really?
Were they close, Orby and his dad?
Their whole family is really close.
I thought the Traveling Wilburys were. That was probably his last effort, but has it been 19 years?
Oh, he died when their second album was released. They made a video about him.
Hey, Kat?
Yes.
You're doing the Lord's work. What can I say? And
the Lord's work? What does that mean?
I don't know. Do you ever work on cadavers?
No.
No, you wouldn't tattoo a dead guy?
No.
Even if he said that was his wish?
How could he talk if he's dead?
Well, because I feel like it'd be funny. Like, the guy who died of alcohol poisoning at the frat house, he wanted a giant penis put on his back. That was his final wish. Oh. All right, we got some news coming up. Kat Von D will be watching TLC Tuesday night, tomorrow night, 10 o'clock, LA Inc. T?
You know,
the news.
The
yeah.
Super Bowl, obviously, was yesterday. There was a red carpet, and it was kind of strange.
I don't know!
That is a major actor.
That's a major actor.
A major actor, yeah.
A red carpet at the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Or a Super Bowl party or function.
Before the Super Bowl, Seacrest was on the red carpet, and there were a bunch of celebrities there, mostly from Fox shows, but not this guy.
Let me hear. Can I hear that one more time, Bald Brian?
Sure you can.
I guess
I don't know!
Conaway.
We'll take a quick break. Back with the news next. The news.
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news today.
Tom Brady and the Patriots failed to make history after falling 17-14 to the Giants in Super Bowl 42. The Pats were trying to become the first team ever to win 19 games in one season. They failed. How did Tom Brady feel about the disappointing loss?
I wish we'd have played a little bit better. But like I said, you got to give those Giants a lot of credit. It's an extremely well-coached team. We played them 5 weeks ago, and it was a three-point game. And they made enough changes and really limited what we did offensively. And, you know, our team is extremely disappointed. Coach Belichick's extremely disappointed. But, you know, it's one thing if I felt we weren't prepared or didn't work hard or didn't give it our all, and we did. We left it all out there. Guys are spent. Guys played extremely hard, played hurt. And I'm sure it'll be tough to swallow over the coming months.
Good. Enjoy your off season. Hope you think about it every time you pump that model girlfriend of yours. Dear online diary, it's Bill. The Pats. Perfect season has turned into a perfect disaster. I can't go on. I miss Bill. Go on. I said go off. Delete. P.S. Go back. Stop filming. Stop the film. Yes. Look, this was a mammoth win. There have been Super Bowls with bigger spreads than this, but no team destined to win more than the Pats.
Eli Manning says it's hard for him to describe how it feels to have won the Super Bowl as such an underdog.
It's an unbelievable feeling. There's nothing like it. I've never had this feeling before, obviously. And, you know, it's just so proud of our teammates and the way we hung in and we believed that we could win this game and to fight the way we did against a great team. You can't describe the feeling.
The real tragedy is the third Manning brother at Thanksgiving. Cooper Manning this year. Hey, son. Oh, yeah, you can see, you know, Daddy Archie carving up the bird. Who gets the first plate of white meat? Well, which Super Bowl winning son should I give it to? Cooper! Peyton's got to make a number two. Cup your hand. Let's go now.
Your Papa, hand doesn't have the ring on it.
Cup!
I walked on to Ole Miss.
You understand his hand is, he's like a surgeon. That's his tools. I can't risk any infections. Now cup your hand. As a matter of fact, I just put holes in the seats of all the chairs except for yours at the dining room table. That's right. That's horrible. Right. And by the way, you eat at the loser's table with the kids. You eat at the little table with the little chairs.
But there's only one seat.
Not enough room at the Super Bowl winning table. Sorry.
Cooper Manning sounds a lot like Bill Simmons. Just noticed that.
You South. Did, yeah. All right.
He's a big Brady fan.
Yes, when Plaxico, P-L-A-Sico, made his catch, I was very excited about it. Then I started thinking about Plaxico's name, which is, hey, I got an idea. I'll make up a name. I'll take Plaque in Mexico and combine them.
Two great tastes.
Even a death roll.
How about you take gingivitis in Beirut? Make another great name
ginger
out
root.
Of it.
Ginger root.
Ginger root.
Delicious.
Talk to your not brother bad. Plaxico.
How about halitosis and Kabul? It all works.
Kabul.
There you go. You want to hear from Plaxico?
Yes, I
here
do.
Here he is on his game-winning touchdown catch.
When the ball was in the air, and I was just looking at trying to get free, trying to get open. And, you know, when I saw I was open, I just made sure my feet was in, and I made sure I looked the ball all the way in, and, you know, came down with it.
Why do we have to talk to them about that? Is there ever another answer? Actually, I was thinking about knitting a tea cozy. So he's like, well, the ball's in the air, so I had to make a play for the ball. And I just went up and got the ball. I was thinking about getting the ball. Yeah, we understand you're thinking about catching the ball. Well, you know, my brain told my hands to go catch the ball when the ball came my way. I just, you know, I got off the line. I wanted to make a play. And by the way, we've seen what happens. You know, we don't need that part where it's not like somebody that survived the Titanic that has to come back with a guy drawing a picture for the newspaper. Oh, we hit an iceberg and the boat capsized. It's none of that. We have the film. Yeah. It's like, they always do a thing too where they go, so I was lined up wide left. Uh-huh. Then, I started inside like I was going a crossing pattern and then faded out to, right. We saw the film 3,000 times. We know exactly what you were doing.
Well, for some reason, the NFL had Ryan Seacrest doing red carpet interviews with movie stars who came to see the Super Bowl yesterday. Here is Ryan interviewing actor Lawrence Fishburne.
You, as an actor, know what it's like to work under pressure and media scrutinization. You look at these quarterbacks, the media's all over them. How do you focus on a day like today?
Oh, man. I do not envy any of these guys today. It's like we were thinking about Eli Manning and the pressure that he must be under.
Yeah, yeah.
Because of his family history, because of what his brother did last year.
Sexual abuse.
It's like, I don't know.
It is Lawrence Fishburne. Yeah, you know, the Super Bowl should, I wouldn't say it was ruined, but I don't want him. Okay, you don't want the killer of your grandchild, the guy who's driving the drunken guy driving the van.
Yeah.
You don't want him attending the funeral.
Mm. Right.
Or his birthday party next year when you all get together to memorialize him. You know, that's what I feel like with Seacrest at the Super Bowl. He's making a mockery of it. He somehow took away from it.
Well, there were a lot of American Idol tie-ins.
And what about, did Paula Abdul, wasn't she supposed to do something?
Yeah, they had a pre-tape. She was singing her song.
Drunk.
Her performing, I think it's Dance Like There's No Tomorrow. It's on Randy Jackson's album.
Right, but not live.
No, they threw to it during the pre-show. So
sure.
There was that. Then there was Ryan Seacrest. And then, of course, former American Idol winner Jordan Sparks sang the national anthem.
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed?
You know what would be awesome?
What?
Get hold of her. Pay her $5 million to yell goldenpalace.com out free. As many times as she could before security tackled her.
During the national anthem.
That's no crime.
What about slipping it in like subliminally?
Right? We were so goldenpalace.com.
I hardly know.
And the offshore accounts. I'm taking the money line in the giant. Yeah, I'm not sure if she can pull that off, but it would be funny. Wouldn't be against the law.
No. Right.
People go, well, her career would be over. I don't think so. I feel like it would get even bigger because who wouldn't want her on your show or their show? People be talking about it for as long. I mean, it would be awesome. And I don't think she'd be breaking any laws. All right.
The NFL might be angry. And, of course, her dad was an NFL player.
Yeah, who was her dad?
What's his name? Phil?
Bubba Sparks?
Yeah. Wait a minute.
I have no idea.
Bubba Sparks is a rapper.
I have no idea who he was.
He played on the New York Giants, I believe.
All right. Good times.
Fitting.
Yeah. That's where she got those guns.
Now let's talk about the Super Bowl ads. USA Today has printed the ad meter results.
Mm-hmm.
The most popular ad from the Super Bowl yesterday was the Budweiser ad featuring, I know you're probably half in the bag by this time, the Dalmatian who trains the Clydesdale to make the beer wagon team.
I was doing that thing because the room was spinning where I closed one eye so the room would stop spinning. And I did see little bits and pieces of the Bud. Right? You know, too many animals in these commercials.
Nothing
too many
but dancing animals.
And, animals and polar bears and stuff like that. I don't like it.
In fact, all of the top ones, the second is FedEx. Beats giant carrier pigeons.
That was great. They ripped off Adam's pterodactyl idea.
Yeah. No,
I didn't see that one at all.
Bridgestone. Critters scream with squirrel.
I was throwing up at that point, I think.
Giant rat goes for guy's bag of Doritos.
I was having a fist fight on the lawn with one of Jimmy's neighbors. An elderly man.
Men's
woman.
Beer into wine and cheese party.
I had gotten on the phone and ordered some horse to come over at that point. I was pretty loaded.
Do you remember the one where the scent of nuts makes the unattractive woman alluring for planters?
I called an ex-girlfriend. I was crying in the guest bedroom.
Now, what was happening by the time...
Calling her whore.
Uh-oh. Mm. When the guy's shirt stain was talking, he was at the job interview, but his stain was talking louder than he was, the tide.
I was beating the crap out of my wife and attempting to feel up my daughter at that point.
And by the time the lizards...
I was pretty loaded.
By the time the lizards were dancing with Naomi Campbell...
Mm-hmm.
For Sobe?
I was shouting racial epithets at that point at nobody.
Now,
on
the
lawn.
When the baby was using E-Trade savings to hire a clown,
mm-hmm.
Anything?
I'd gotten into a fight with Jimmy's mailbox at that point. It was, now to be fair, it wasn't just a regular mailbox. It was shaped like a giant frog. And it looked at me cross-eyed, and I threw down.
How about when Shaquille O'Neal tried being a jockey for vitamin water?
I was backing my car over Jimmy's assistant at that point when I was attempting to drive through his living room.
How about the big Pepsi commercial with Justin Timberlake when he sucked into a hazards by a woman sipping Pepsi?
I was calling a female officer sugar teats at that point.
Wow.
And actually screaming about how the Jews control Hollywood.
Oh.
Uh-oh. Do you remember by the time it was the Gatorade ad for Gatorade is a dog's best friend?
Mm-hmm.
Anything? Do you remember?
I called my dad up and started screaming, die, old man, I hate you. And then I broke down into a heap, and then I started hugging the phone.
Oh, great.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How about Carlos Mencia when he was trying to teach guys how to pick up girls?
I was raping somebody who was at the party. I'm not, it was unclear who it was, and you know, if you're listening, my sincerest apologies.
Do you remember when Will Ferrell did a commercial for Bud Light?
Vomiting into a potted plant.
Okay. That was after the rape.
I was either before, after, or during, and that much I know.
I heard both involved the potted plant.
That's right. Maybe I was raping a ficus plant in Jimmy's guest bedroom and then vomiting into it. That's what I was doing at that point.
A lot of talk about the Sunsilk commercial with icons Madonna, Shakira, and Marilyn Monroe.
I was back to screaming about the Jews controlling Hollywood
at
that point.
You woke back
up. Yeah, I went back to that. Yeah.
How about the remake of the horsehead scene from Godfather for Audi?
I had decided at that point to try to stow away in the boot of Jimmy's Range Rover and take over his life.
Okay, how about for the Gatorade G2 when Derek Jeter sees a ball field everywhere he goes?
I, at that point, was making fun of Jimmy's assistant who dropped some nachos by holding it up and yelling, my name is Brad, and then I dropped the nachos and then I stomped on them and cried.
Okay.
Incredibly lucid memory, by the way.
Yeah. I know. It's amazing.
I was really lit up, but I remember almost everything I did.
Do you remember the Career Builder ad when the woman pulls out her heart?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No. I caught a glimpse of that, but I had my back to the TV set, and I was yelling, drink from the horn. I'd found a powder horn that Jimmy had plugged up one side and filled it with Manischewitz.
Well, you know, one of the least popular ads during the whole Super Bowl was early on. It was during the first half, so maybe you remember it. It was a Doritos commercial featuring a music video for online song contest winner.
I was being tackled down and restrained by most of male guests at the party, and I was screaming, let me up, I'll kill you.
Okay, this was one of the least popular commercials, so I don't know if you tuned into it, but it was for GMC Yukon. It was touting their new fuel-efficient hybrid model.
Jeff Conaway and I were doing rails in the bathroom and talking about a sitcom idea that would be a good vehicle for both of us.
You might remember the Icebreakers ad because it featured Carmen Electra. She's pretty. She was wowed by a fan with Icebreakers ice cubes.
I was up on Jimmy's roof with my shirt off yelling, I'm king of the world.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I was pretty lit. I was pretty drunk.
I'm almost scared to ask. Dell had a commercial for their red products that go towards AIDS charities.
I had gotten nude, greased myself up with Crisco, and was trying to get a running start and stuff myself into Jimmy's convection oven.
I don't, this might have stuck in your mind because Angelina Jolie was in it. It was a promo for a new movie from Universal. She looked incredible. It was the movie Wanted.
No, I, at that point, had slapped a pregnant woman's cell phone out of her hands and yelled, there's no personal calls on Super Bowl Sunday.
So you didn't really see any
I didn't see any of the commercials. No, I was drunk.
Wow. Well, we don't have a lot to talk about then. I'll play one for you since you missed all of them. This is Will Ferrell. It's a commercial for Bud Light. Mm. And he plays the character that he plays in the movie Semi-Pro. It's apparently about a...
basketball player?
Right.
Yeah.
Here it is.
Oh, hi. I'm Jackie Moon. I drink one beer and one beer only. Bud Light. A magical blend of barley, hops, and delicious alcohol.
Got a... That's... Start the line. Action.
Makes a perfect Valentine's gift for the ladies.
Hot.
A lot of sweat goes into every bottle. Not literally. That would be gross. But you know what I mean.
Hot.
Refreshes the palate. And the loins.
Hot.
Bud Light. Suck one.
Hot.
Bud Light keeps coming.
I vaguely heard it, but I had my back to the TV because I was urinating into some seven-layer dip elderly woman had brought to the party and screaming about how fake Con Air was.
Wow. Wow.
Mm-hmm. So I was pretty loaded.
I can see why you're hungover today.
Yeah.
I mean, you missed. I don't know how you managed to catch the game. You know, you seem to have a lot of clarity about the actual game, but you didn't see any of these commercials.
No. Three sheets to the wind.
Well, you said there were a lot of luminaries at Jimmy Kimmel's.
There were.
You saw Kathy Griffin.
I did. She brought her Emmy.
She did?
She did.
I love that.
It was mounted on top of the chimney of Jimmy's pizza oven when I walked in.
Wow.
Yeah, I was literally 20 feet above the ground. Somebody took our Emmy and put it up there. She brought her Emmy to Jimmy's party.
Where does Jimmy keep his Emmy?
Let's see. I think he... Oh, that's right. He does have an
from
Emmy.
From Win Ben Stein's money.
Yeah, I think he took it off the hood of his car and he actually brought it inside for the party.
I got an idea. That'd actually be a really cool thing to do with an Emmy. For Jimmy especially, turn it into a beer tap.
Oh yeah.
Pretty sweet idea.
Yeah.
I like that. And you said Sarah Silverman was there.
She was there as well.
Well, she was all the talk over the weekend because she made an appearance on Jimmy Kimmel Live on Thursday night. And if you haven't seen the video yet, and I know, Adam, you haven't, I have to play you some of it. You should watch it also.
I heard it was great. Yeah, I'll watch it when I get home. I've been out of town. I taped the show Thursday night and haven't seen it yet.
It's hilarious, and it features the actual Matt Damon.
Hey, Jimmy. It's me. I'm in a hotel. I don't know. I've been on the road so long, I don't even know what city I'm in anymore, to be honest. Anyway, I've been thinking about you a lot, and I've been needing to tell you something. I don't know why I haven't, but it's important. I mean, we've been together for so long, over 5 years, and I still haven't told you, and it's just not right. So, here it goes. I'm Matt Damon.
She's Matt Damon.
That's Matt Damon.
Yeah.
I'm Matt Damon.
She's Matt Damon.
I'm not imagining it's you. I'm Matt Damon.
On the bed, on the floor, on a towel by the door, in the tub, in the car, up against the mini bar.
Great when someone has a sense of humor about themselves, right?
I know. Makes you love Matt Damon.
You just love the guy now, right?
Yeah.
Hey, Kimmel, how do you like them apples?
Pointing to Sarah's boobs.
Right.
Get it? It's like because I'm like talking about her breasts.
Yeah, it's funny.
You know, all is forgiven for Ocean's 13 now.
Because he's such a good sport. Now, the song goes a little hardcore and it has kind of a rap interlude.
Knocking at my door. I'm who?
I'm Matt Damon.
Matt Damon.
I'm Matt Damon.
Matt Damon.
And you know that I ain't lying. I said I'm Matt Damon.
She's Matt Damon.
It's true, the insider has confirmed that she is, in fact, Matt Damon.
Last week when I was playing Scrabble with you online, I was Matt Damon.
She went back and forth like an idiot to do your show and Regis and Kelly's show. She was definitely Matt Damon.
When I told you I was Matt Damon, I was Matt Damon.
It's the mini bar.
Matt Damon. Matt Damon.
So that's it. I think I was clear.
You did great.
It was okay.
Pretty damn good.
Anyway, you know, we had a great run, Jim. And I hope there's no hard feelings. I hope we can be friends. I'm friends with all my boyfriends, my old boyfriends. So if anything isn't clear, you need closure of some kind, please, please call my publicist, Amy Zvi, at BNCPL. So take care.
You know what? Stop right there. Jimmy, we're out of time. Sorry.
You are so bad.
A little bit. Let's put that guitar down and go Matt Damon.
It's funny. She's such a nice person.
She's actually got a beautiful voice.
She's
impressed.
Everybody should be jealous of Sarah Silverman.
I think they mostly are, except for guys.
Nah, I don't know. I'm a dude, kind of, and I'm jealous of Sarah Silverman. Smart, super funny, super nice, sweetheart. But imagine, by the way, if we dug up Ed Sullivan and he just watched it. And you're like, yeah, that's TV.
Right.
That's what we have on TV.
Right. They had to cut away from Mick Jagger's hips or something, right?
Yeah. They were like, well, we can't have Jim Morrison say, you know, girl, we couldn't get much higher. We'll have to cut away and we can't show Elvis shaking his hips. That's TV. That's where we've come to.
I know. A lot of F-bombs. All covered, but it's very clear what she's
I think
she's
so.
Saying.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, I'll leave you with this story. It's about a miracle, a medical miracle, and some people think that this is living proof that KFC can perform miracles, and I mean Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Mm-hmm.
A 15-year-old named Jordan Hawkins of Devon, England, was attacked by two boys.
Mm-hmm.
They fractured his skull and sent him into a coma.
Mm.
Doctors had to drill a 6-inch hole in his skull to relieve the pressure on his brain. While he was in a coma, his dad, Jim, sat with him and talked to him. And one of the things Jim said was that,
yeah, hello,
Jordan,
dad,
Jordan, if you come out of this coma, I'm going to take you for some KFC.
Mm-hmm.
So apparently that was the kid's favorite restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
After 10 days, Jordan came out of the coma. And the first thing he said was that he was so happy to be out of the coma because he had heard his dad talking about KFC.
Wow.
Mm. And he wanted to get there and get a huge bucket of fried chicken.
Mm-hmm.
His skull is going to be repaired in about 6 months.
Mm.
And then he'll be, when he's well enough to have surgery, and I'm sure he'll be...
I got to say, my ethnic pigeonholing brain is spinning around like it's on a potter's wheel right now.
Because his name's Jordan Hawkins.
Right.
He's out of Devon, England.
Oh, now, yeah.
He's dying for some KFC.
I'm all over the road.
He was beaten by two other boys.
Well, I can't figure this out.
That's a really tough
one. Ruling out Asian and Jew. Other than that, I'm leaving it open.
I'm Teresa Strasser. That's the news.
Tomorrow's news. Today. Teresa Strasser. QCNN.
All right. Now, speaking of the Super Bowl, I did some gambling. Oh, yes. I did some gambling on the Super Bowl. Did you do some gambling on the Super Bowl?
No.
I called cousin Sal, Jimmy's cousin, and my bookie when I was at the airport in Vancouver. Thankfully, I got hold of him. I'll tell you what I did. I'll also tell you what I almost did, which was almost went over on the over-under, which was 55. Imagine how you felt that, you know, what was it, 7-3 at the halftime?
Yeah.
I mean, the idea that the Pats would be held to under 17 points was unthinkable.
I
mean, I have a guy, Kevin Hench, who writes for Fox Sports West or Fox whatever online. He's the biggest expert on this in the world. And he said, look, Brady has been playing in bad weather conditions for the last month and a half and still putting on 28 points on the board, 32. Dry field, sun shining, he's going to light this thing up. I mean, the idea that they were held to 14 is unbelievable.
No!
866-901-ADAM. Tell us how you did yesterday, and I'll tell you how I did in the gambling department next.
Let's check Adam's voicemail on the Adam Carolla Show.
Flipping around the channels right now, and I'm not that much of a big fan of Fox News, but they have a show called Red Eye, and it's pretty much a bunch of dumbasses talking about crap. And I thought it was quite funny that the leading host said that his idea was to put all of the sex offenders on an island. And then what's even funnier is that the co-host said, hey, that could be a TV show. And then the guy said, yeah, I've been doing things for a long time. That's a great idea. And then I remembered that that was your idea and that you have been robbed. And I think that you should complain about it on your radio shows.
Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, I think you just did for me, anonymous caller. So the game yesterday, how to bet. See, what I do is I run up a tab with cousin Sal, and then I try to settle the score with one big bet at the end on the Super Bowl every year. And I couldn't figure it out. I was torn. On one hand, I had the voice of my buddy Kevin ringing in my head saying that Brady was going to light up the scoreboard. On another hand, they have 3 Super Bowl wins by combined 9 points.
Mm-hmm.
3 wins by combined 9 points. As a matter of fact, somebody stumbled onto this, but I think I stumbled onto it a couple of weeks ago when I was thinking about it. They were outscored by 50 points in their two losses, and then won their 3-2 in the Super Bowl, the Pats were, by 9 points. So they have 3 Super Bowl wins in 5 appearances and have been outscored by 41 points in their combined Super Bowl appearances. If I told you a team went to the Super Bowl 5 times and was outscored by 41 points, you'd say, well, did they have one win at least? Oh, no, they've won 3 in a row. Unbelievable.
So what was your bet?
Well, my bet was the Pats just win. They figure out ways to win, and they don't do it in the Super Bowl in always impressive fashion, but they still get the W. So with the point spread at 12 points, I'm going to take the Giants and take the points. And that's what I did. So I broke even. Now, we have some good, good bets here. Eric?
Yeah.
What happened?
Well, I went to Vegas just before the playoffs started. I went to the sports book, and they had all the odds for all the playoff teams to make all the way to the Super Bowl. And Giants were 75-1.
Wow.
Wow.
So you must have been, how much did you win?
I won $15,000.
Well, Eric, how much did you put down?
$20.
Whoa.
You must have been going out of your mind yesterday in the fourth quarter.
I was pretty much couldn't watch the TV because I when Eli almost got sacked in that last minute and 35 seconds, I was in the bathroom.
I would love to have been at Eric's a Super Bowl party.
Yeah, me too.
That would have been great.
He was in Vegas. Were you watching at the sports book?
No, I was in Sacramento.
You went to Vegas, laid the bet down, and now you're in Sacramento. Well, good times. You're officially the richest guy in Sacramento now, by the way.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
You're like the Monopoly man of Sacramento. Right. You buy yourself a top hat and a giant key to the city. All right. Let's see. Here's a good one. Hey, JD.
Yeah.
How say you, my friend?
Man, I got screwed.
So the screen says Eli won MVP, so you can't watch TV, or I should say football, for 1 year.
Yeah, I hate Eli ever since he beat the Bears. I can't stand him.
Yeah.
So we were talking, my friends basically just root forever. I don't, and they hate Tom Brady. So they were going for the Giants, and I was going for the Pats because I want the Dolphins fans to shut up.
Sure.
I see.
Yeah, I can see a shut up Mercury Morris and company. Yeah. Right.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm all for... go for Tom Brady, whatever. And we're making bets. I bet, like, we bet drinks in the opening kickoff that they return it to 23. Just, we're making stupid, dumb drinking bets all
night.
Right. And towards the end of the game, they're like, they're going to win Eli's gonna be MVP. And I said, well, if Eli gets MVP, I'm not going to watch football for a year. So.
Now, how do they enforce this?
It's a gentleman's bet. I'm going to enforce it myself. So I can watch high school and arena ball. That's it.
You can't even watch college ball?
Anyone wants college ball. I'm so
pissed. Yeah. All right. Well, listen, you love watching football, right?
Oh, I love it so much.
So, by the way, how much can you hate Eli Manning for beating the Bears? It is his job to go out and try to win a football game, just like it's Rex Grossman's job to try to win for your Bears,
right? I
still
hate Vince Young.
Yeah. I think I just haven't really liked him since the whole San Diego thing. So, I mean, I find reasons just to not like him more.
I can dig it. To me, he's such a... First off, he's living in the shadow of his older brother who can do no wrong, being the guy who's like the runt of the litter, almost, so to speak. I can't help but pull for the guy.
He does look like a slightly retarded version of Peyton Manning.
I know. And he seems like, he just seems like the nicest guy on the planet.
He does seem sweet, but wasn't everyone all pissed off at him when he wouldn't, he got drafted by San Diego.
Yeah.
Wouldn't go there.
Well, in LA.
How can you blame
him? But now look at him. He's got a Super Bowl.
How can you blame the guy for wanting to win? Marshall?
Hey, man. How's it going over there?
What's happening there, Marshall? You're calling from San Antonio.
Yeah, big fan. Listen to the podcast, the stream, all of it.
Well, thanks, Marshall. Well, how'd your bet go?
Not too good. by the end of business today, I'm going to be looking like Bald Brian.
Fat and poor?
Yeah.
Oh,
well, yeah, I kind of lost the bet. Me and my brother, we make this bet every year that starting with the Seahawks loss years back that you know, we would shave our head if the team we backed lost. And I pretty much took the Patriots, you know, kind of wanting the 19-0 and you know, all that. And now it's all kind of ended in tears.
You chicks, see, I'll put him on hold because his line's bad, but you chicks don't have these kinds of bets. where there's no monetary gain.
Yeah. It's a shame bet.
Your gain is punishing the other person and not being punished.
Yeah, I went up to a kid working at Home Depot and I said, oh, Giants fan because of his hat. You know, I'm from San Francisco. Right. He goes, no. I lost a bet. I have to wear this hat for a year. Well, you don't do that.
One of the funnest things we used to do is play backgammon in the middle of winter in my buddy Donnie's house, his parents' house up in the hills. It would be, you know, 40s. It'd be in the 40s. And the pool would not be heated. And the pool was thus in the 40s. And it was freezing. And we would play backgammon outside on his patio. And if you lost, you had to jump into the pool with your clothing on in the middle of winter, that kind of thing where you pop up and you can't get your breath because the water's so cold and your nads fire up into your insides like a gear going up on a F-18. It was to nobody's gain except for the three guys that get to watch the poor guy dive into the pool in his jeans and jacket.
Yeah, it's
and
borderline
boots and everything
dangerous.
Else. That's right. But it was fun. And that's why we're number one.
Of between the genders?
Yeah, that's why you guys only get 75 cents our dollar. You don't have
78.
Oh, is it?
I think.
Nah.
We got to do something.
Yeah, work on that, Paul Bryant. I think you're screwing the curve up, by the way, Paul Bryant. I'm doing my part. All right, quick break. Back to wrap it up next. Well, just enough time to remind you of a few things before we go. Knight Rider, big two-hour event. That's right. No call to movie. It's an event. On television, Sunday, February 17th, NBC, we're going to be at the Playboy Mansion launching that on the 12th. You go to AdamCarolla.com, and we may just see you at the Playboy Mansion. All right, I want to thank Kat Von D, LA Inc., Tuesday nights, 10 o'clock, TLC, Jeffrey Tambor, welcome to the captain. Premieres tonight, 8:30, CBS, our own Teresa Strasser, new time, TV water cooler tonight. 8 o'clock on the TV Guide Network, and also tell you, you can go to Free2HD at AdamCarolla.com. You can catch this show, you can catch Crank Anchors, and many other things. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying, mahalo. Hey, man, he's really upset, so hold still while he rapes you, and then he's going to scatter your parts out in the countryside.